This is the Quality News Network. Three hostages, including a young child, have been released unharmed after a man carrying a bomb suddenly appeared at Hillary Clinton's campaign headquarters in Rochester, New Hampshire this afternoon. The man is currently holed up inside the campaign office, reportedly with one other person, possibly a woman. Armed SWAT teams surround the perimeter of that building. The man is demanding to speak with Senator Clinton, who is currently campaigning elsewhere in Washington, D.C. and Virginia. Five Amtrak crew members were seriously injured in today's train crash on Chicago's South Side. An Amtrak train collided with a freight train on the same track while making its regular run between Grand Rapids, Michigan and Chicago. The National Transportation and Safety Board will investigate. A passenger jet crashed on a rocky mountain in the southwestern part of Turkey early this morning, killing all 57 aboard. The cause of the crash is unknown, but weather and mechanical problems are ruled out. Thousands are rioting in Sudan, demanding the death of a British schoolteacher. She was convicted yesterday of violating national and Islamic law by allowing her third-grade class to name a teddy bear Muhammad. Militants say her sentence of 15 days in prison and deportation is too lenient. Israel's High Court has approved a plan to reduce the amount of fuel oil and gasoline sent to the Gaza Strip. The reduction is part of economic sanctions punishing Hamas for rocket attacks into Israel. The government postponed a plan to cut electricity to the region for now. In Baghdad, security forces carried out a pre-dawn raid, arresting dozens of Sunni militants. That after a bomb was discovered in front of a leading Sunni Arab politician's office. Among those arrested was the politician's own son. The Marines have trimmed their request for mine-resistant vehicles by one-third. The million-dollar troop carriers are designed to protect passengers from roadside bombs, but are too bulky for some Marine Corps missions. The Colombian government has released video confiscated from rebels proving the captives held hostage by the group for years are still alive. An American daredevil, Evel Knievel, passed away today. According to his website, evelknievel.com, Evel Knievel was 69 years old. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
I know your secret. Nobody told me, but I know. Every time your little girl wants you to read her a story and you tell her you're too busy, I know. When your boy needs help with homework and you tell him to ask his mother, I know. Your wife asks you whether the warranty is still good on the broken dishwasher, and you tell her you're too tired to look for it, I know. You're very good at keeping the secret, but it does take a lot of effort to keep the charade going. It could be very scary and embarrassing if anyone found out. But I know your secret. You can't read. Neither can 93 million American adults. You're in big company. Instead of running scared, become a hero in your own family. Find a local literacy program at your library. It's free. The day you whisper in your wife's ear, "Honey, I can read," just watch how big her smile is.
This message on literacy has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your local library.
Hollywood writers consider a new deal offered by the studios. The contract offers to pay millions of dollars for projects shown on the Internet. Shares of Dell Computers dropped 10% after the company announced its profit margin failed to meet Wall Street expectations. Dell also warned future results may be affected by increased production costs. Reuters reports Sprint Nextel has rejected a $5 billion investment offer from two private equity groups. Facebook has revamped its controversial ad policy to permit its 55 million users to opt out of a marketing program that shares private information with advertisers. Shares of Warner Music Group increased after the world's third-largest music company beat Wall Street expectations, that despite an announcement of a 58% decline in quarterly profit for the company. Warner noted a steep drop in the sale of CDs and a continuing soft market. Walgreens drugstore chain says it will no longer provide medications for four major prescription drug plans managed by Walgreens rival CVS Caremark. Light sweet crude oil trading at $88.71 a barrel, gold at $789.10 an ounce. At this week's close of Wall Street, the Dow up 60 points to end at 13,371, NASDAQ down 7, S&P 500 up 11. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Okay, Tokyo! Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. You know, someday I'm going to learn. Try to get a little prep time in. And, you know, I guess it's the nature of the news business, although I do not hold myself out to you as a journalist, like that jackass Limbaugh does. America's news anchor. Remember those billboards? This is opinion. This is not journalism, okay? I've done journalism. I know the difference. But welcome to the program this evening. It's Friday night. That means it's Front Porch Friday. The thing being that during the week, you can bring, you know, this is conversation radio. You can bring anything to the table that you want to. And I welcome it. On Front Porch Friday, however, we try to bring people together who ordinarily might not speak to each other. I don't mean like because, you know, you're hostile to each other or anything, but who ordinarily just don't have it. And we'll put you all together on the line at the same time. We can have up to four calls at one time going. And if you want to jump in, I hope you will. And that's what Front Porch Friday's all about. You know, coming, getting up on the porch, pulling up a rocking chair, grabbing a swaller out of the jug over there in the corner with the corn cob in the top. It's only about 130 proof. Goes down hot. Try not to rock on old Blue's tail. He don't take too kindly to that. And carry on and cuss and discuss whatever it is that's on your mind. I would imagine, and what I said about, you know, teach me to try to line up a program, I have some stuff on my plate that I hope that we will get to. But in the middle of it all, the whole hostage drama in New Hampshire transpires. I got to remember to turn the damn ringer off. Boy, is that annoying. There now. All better. There we go. Okay, let's see who we'll find out who we've got in a minute. But you know me, I like to come at things from a slightly different angle, an oblique angle, if you will. And I began to watch the hostage drama unfold in Rochester, New Hampshire. Of course, the person is immediately tagged with being emotionally unsettled, and I think I would probably be able to go along with that. Anybody who would strap theoretical dynamite to his theoretical chest, probably not all home. Wants to talk to Senator Clinton, he does. Yeah, I want to talk to Senator Clinton. Get on the phone before I blow myself to Kingdom Come and this whole building with it. But he's... if you go over to Crooks and Liars, there is already commentary there carried over from elsewhere. I don't mean it originated with Crooks and Liars. That the bomber is a Clinton plant. That Senator Clinton sent a suicide bomber to her own office to cover for the big debate question flap. You hear this? That's my head. I can't believe somebody would write something like that. When in fact, you know, there's a much greater likelihood that this guy is a wingnut. The hostage drama is over, so they say. I don't know. I mean, I'm not there. I can't tell you one way or the other. Supposedly, it's over. But the guy remains inside unless they've gotten him in the last 5 minutes. No one in American journalism, except me, and I will do this, once we find out who the goofball is, no one in American journalism will call any voter registration office anywhere in New Hampshire to get this guy's voter registration. I will. I will lay odds right now of about probably 80% to 20% that this guy is a card-carrying Republican. He's said to have been on a 72-hour drinking binge. He's said to be in the middle of losing his marriage. And just crazy enough to want to talk to Senator Clinton. So, as I said, I try to come at these things from a different angle. So I fired up my Google Earth, and I went and I looked at where Rochester, New Hampshire is, and it's not that far from Manchester, New Hampshire. So then I bounded over and I checked out some radio ratings, and I found out that Rochester, New Hampshire, does not have its own ratings market, but being nearby, I can guess that most radio reception is from the Manchester market. And there it is. Yeah, WGIR. No. WRKOAM is a news talk station, and WGIRAM is higher ranked, and it's a Clear Channel news talk station. And there is not a single news talk broadcast that you would feel confident saying, you know, runs any kind of liberal programming or progressive programming. But yes, in fact, right-wing hate radio streams daily via the terrestrial radio waves into Rochester, New Hampshire. So what do you want to bet our bomber, so to speak, if in fact he's even got a real bomb on him, is some disaffected dude who sits around in his underwear eating Cheetos all day, drinking himself into a blind stupor, mumbling about liberals and that liberal Senator Clinton? What do you want to bet? You want to hear the kind of thing that streams over the terrestrial airwaves into places like Rochester, New Hampshire? Well, okay, we can do that. Here you go. Try this on for size.
Hillary Clinton cannot be elected president because, am I wrong in feeling, am I the only one in America that feels this way? That there's something about her vocal range. There's something about her voice that just drives me. It's not what she says, it's how she says it. She is like the stereotypical, excuse the expression, but this is the way to, she's a stereotypical bitch. You know what I mean? She's that stereotypical nagging, you know what I mean? When she's, and it's, she doesn't have to be saying, she could be saying happy things. But after 4 years, don't you think every man in America will go insane? Is it just me? Is this, I mean, I know this is horrible to say, but I mean it not because, I would say this if she were Condi Rice, and she sounded like that. Condi Rice doesn't have that great to her voice. You know what I need to do? I need to talk to a vocal expert. I need to, because there is a range in women's voices that experts say is just the chalk and, I mean, the fingernails
on
the blackboard.
Some experts, right?
And I don't know if she's using that range or what it is, but I've heard her in speeches where I can't take it. Am I alone? Dan, have you ever noticed that about her?
Oh, my gosh. She could be talking about how she's giving every American $1 million, and I'm hearing, could you take out the garbage now, please?
That really is what it is. I thought it was just me, and maybe it is. I'm sorry for being such a pig, but please, America. Please. I don't think I could do it for 4 years. I mean, sure, the country's going to go to hell in the handbasket, but is it like, can we make this about me for a second? I just don't
think Glenn.
I could take it from her.
Maybe the Secret Service could visit you, Glenn, and make it more about you.
Sheikh Mohammed has confessed to 9/11 and trying to kill President Carter. Why would you try to kill President Carter? He's on your side, for the love of Pete. No, he said that hasn't been confirmed. We should check into it, because I read it on a blog someplace. Why would you? Oh.
Get the idea? That's Glenn Beck, of course, and he's just one example. There's other examples of Michael Savage, the Savage Wiener, saying other stuff. There are examples of O'Reilly saying this stuff. You know, basically, the poking and prodding the insane of America, because that's who listens to right-wing hate radio, poking and prodding the insane people of America to do something about it. Hey, mister, yeah, you, up in New Hampshire, have you heard that voice? It's the stereotypical. I mean, 4 years of... It just makes me crazy. It'll make you crazy too, Mr. Insane Dude in Rochester, New Hampshire. And they're out there trying to lay this off on Senator Clinton herself. But there's nothing new in that because... here in West Virginia... The nurses' strike over in Beckley. They burnt a vehicle and then turned around and tried to make it look like the union person organizer burned his own vehicle to make the hospital look bad. I mean, there's a twisted kind of just, you know, a little too much glue, a little too much huffing of the gasoline reasoning. And the next thing you know, you've got the kind of brain that goes, yeah, we could convince them that they did it. Yeah, that's the ticket. So be alert, be cognizant as more details come out. And once this situation is resolved and we learn who the crazy dude is, we'll just check out and see if we can find out. Because I think New Hampshire is one of those states where you have to actually register with your own party and be in your party. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. But we'll see if we can't find Mr. Crazy Bomber Dude's voter registration. And I got 8-2, 4-1 odds that Mr. Crazy Bomber Dude is, of course, a registered, dyed-in-the-wool, conservative Republican voter. All right, it is Front Porch Friday. Let's see what's going on here and who we have. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm just great. You know, the thing with Glenn Beck and those people, there's a name for it. It's called the Big Lie.
Well, that's one of them, yeah.
Enough.
There's other names for it that I won't repeat on the air because it's a little too early yet.
Oh, yeah. I like Mike Malloy's name for it, Bat Squeeze. That you can say anytime. Would you like another version, another example of it?
Okay, sure.
Your friend and mine in the funny hat in Rome.
Oh, yeah. The old anti-aircraft gunner.
He's come out and said that atheism was responsible for, quote, some of the greatest forms of cruelty and violations of justice in history. Come again?
No. Repeat that, please.
Yeah, honest to God.
No, I mean it. Repeat that, please.
Pope Benedict, in an encyclical released on Friday, said atheism was responsible for some of the, quote, greatest forms of cruelty and violations of justice, unquote, in history.
Pot, meat kettle.
Let's see, there's Inquisition. There is
North and South American genocide, rape,
the
plunder.
The Crusades, all God only knows how many of them. my God, the one thing that has killed more Christians in human history has been other Christians.
Dear Jesus, save me from your followers. Yeah, I know.
Oh.
Well,
and we won't even go into the witchcraft thing.
Yeah, probably best not to.
You know, the literally millions of women who were killed because they made the mistake of petting a cat.
Well, it is Front Porch Friday, Susan, so let's get somebody else on board, too. Oh, they quit on us. All right, we'll try this one. Hi, who have we got?
Me.
Hey, me.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Welcome
Hi,
to the Front Porch.
Yeah, listen, what is this incident that's going on at one of the Clinton headquarters?
Yeah, Rochester, New Hampshire.
What's going on up there?
It's kind of hard to say thus far because details are a bit sketchy.
I know, I just happened to see a news flash.
But some crazy dude who claims to have a bomb strapped to him walked into Clinton headquarters in Rochester, New Hampshire early this afternoon, had a few hostages. He's apparently let his hostages go, but now there's a standoff. And he wants to talk to Senator Clinton. And people in the know in that small community say that he's been drinking for about 72 solid hours. He's well known to police, and his marriage is on the rocks. And that he told his stepson today to watch TV. It'll be exciting.
Well, I think I could arrange for him to talk a much higher power than that this evening if they let me handle it.
Well, there's snipers on the roof, Jim, and I think they're just looking for a clear shot.
Well, why not? Look, there's just something totally off the wall I want to tell you about. Because you were always going on about these mega churches.
Mm-hmm.
You want to hear a story? That, you know, this is not a new thing. You want to hear a little story from the deep south?
Oh, boy. Those are always good.
Did you ever hear of Sweet Daddy Grace?
I don't think so, no.
Well, he was this African-American parson or minister who had a number of churches all over the South. And he had one of his headquarters was in Columbia, South Carolina. And he had a church over on Reed Street in Columbia. And he was always surrounded by these people dressed in white back in those days. And this is a story from my grandfather. These women and these people who were surrounding him were always fanning him because back then he had the air conditioning and he wore these white suits and had real long hair. But he had a baptismal service. Do you know how he conducted a 400-person baptismal service?
I dare... I'll wait and let you say.
I'm afraid to find out.
He called the Columbia Fire Department. They sent two fire trucks over and hosed them.
On the cheap, I guess. Weren't doing anything down at the firehouse today, so let's go do a baptizing.
Well, they sent two fire trucks over there, and that's how they perform the ceremony. And that's always been one of my grandfather's, or was one of his favorite stories about that. And And they had another guy down there named Father Divine in Charlotte. Did you ever hear of him?
Mm-mm.
Oh, he had a regular heaven up there. It had people that wore angel's wings and all this stuff. So, I mean, the mega church and all these types of religious, well, interesting religious people, they are not new at all.
No, they're not new. They're not new. All they're doing is keeping up with the higher technology.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing now. You know, God bless this poor man. He was a revival person. This was when I was a boy, young boy. He had this tent in a vacant lot down the street from where we lived. And he had this sign out in front of his tent saying, "Red Hot Preaching every Saturday night." And so one day, somebody set the tent on fire, burned it down. And so the police were camping through the neighborhood, and I guess they were thinking maybe I was the suspect since I was a juvenile. And so the doorbell rang, and the maid answered the door, and they asked to speak to my mother. And they said, you know, "Miss Anderson is not at home today." And they asked her if she knew anything about it. You know what she told them?
What's that?
She said, "I think it's that Red Hot Preacher must have set it on fire." I mean, stories from the past, you know?
What sure. But, you know, it's the old chicanery just done up with new bells and whistles. Now they have 97-inch jumbotrons inside their auditorium and, you know, the very best that technology has to offer. Because, you know, that's what the... That's what the people will shell out for.
Well, it's definitely a very, very, very a large amount of money going into those things. That's for sure.
Okay, we've got an update here from Brandon. He says he was just watching CNN's The Situation Room, and he adds, "Ugh." He says, "The pictures show authorities taking the bomber into custody. He's on the ground, and they're strapping those white plastic cuffs on him. The guy's name is reported to be Leland Eisenberg." Brandon says, "I had to walk away from the TV to get back to work. I'm at work right now. P.S. I swear Wolf Blitzer looks like he's about to wet his pants over this story. They've been covering this all day. Overhyped and overdone." Thanks, Brandon.
Well, I imagine that would make front page news if somebody were trying to do something like that. I mean, you know, I guess he's gotten his 15 minutes of fame, as Andy Warhol once said, we'll be able to have.
I'm surprised he's alive.
Yeah, I mean, really. I mean, you know, when you start playing around with bombs and making bomb threats and things like that, and they get a SWAT team up there.
There are some reports I've just seen that the dynamite strapped to his chest were road flares.
Really?
You know, the looks like a stick of dynamite, the red ones. You know, and they've usually got spikes on the bottom where you can sort of jam them into the asphalt.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I have some in the boot of my car.
Right. They're handy to have, but that was his bomb.
My goodness.
What a Lulu.
You know, I wonder what he would have said to Mrs. Clinton if he had been able to talk to her.
I don't know. Maybe he wanted her to talk to his wife and maybe make sense out of it.
Well, that guy who was criticizing her and her voice, I mean, he did not exactly sound like Ronald Coleman reading children's stories either.
Jim, Jesus.
Pardon me?
Oh, my God. What an analogy. That's beautiful.
Well, I mean, I had a whole set of albums, Tales of the Olympian Gods, and it was based on Edith Hamilton's book. And it was a narrative on these 10 disc set, and it had Ronald Coleman reading these myths. And when I was a kid, that's how I learned about Greek mythology. And he had such a mellifluous, pleasant voice. But this guy who was criticizing President Clinton and her voice, I mean, good God, I would just as soon listen to people with their feet on fire or with somebody scraping their nails across with a blackboard, as he said. Good God.
That's, you know, and that's Glenn Beck. He's a multimillionaire, Jim.
Well, he's an asshole.
Well, that too. But he's one of those with the multi-millions of dollars. He's on CNN Headline News every night. He's got the lowest... There are test patterns with higher ratings than Glenn Beck.
Plus, he has a personality of a dial phone.
That, too. Jim, you're on fire tonight, brother.
Or as my but it's not. Say, he's got a personality of a hoe handle.
Yeah, that, too. That works as well. Poor hoe.
I'm the hoe, you the hoe, who the hoe.
Right. But it's not just Glenn Beck. You know, it comes out of the mouth of the Michael the Savage Wiener. If you were to tune your radio over to a certain frequency, you'd probably hear Michael the Savage Wiener going at it hot and heavy even as we speak.
Oh, he sounds like he's got a real major hormone problem. He really does.
God damn, I just love you.
He really does. That man, it sounds like some type of, I don't know, there's just something just abnormal. I mean, maybe he has polyps on his vocal cords.
Oh, yeah, I tell you what, these liberals out there, you know, liberalism is a mental disorder.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But him, whether it's him or O'Reilly or Beck or Limbaugh or any of these other freakish right-wing hate mongers, purveyors of hate, they're all saying the same thing. So why are we surprised when a goofball goon like this character wanders in? They've since 1992, Jim, Susan, since 1992, they've been grooming people to do this.
I know.
Listen, you say it often enough, people will believe it.
Yep, big lie.
Listen, may I tell one more story? This history has to do with some of the people who were like these predecessors of some of these pundits.
Sure.
Do you remember the name Iva Taguri?
That I do recognize.
Tokyo Rose. Now, here was a poor Japanese girl, and she had to go to Japan in early 1941. She just graduated from UCLA. And was going to come back and attend medical school. She had to go over there for a family problem, okay? And she couldn't get back because the war started. And for a year or so, she lived as an American citizen and refused to renounce her American citizenship until the Sekipatai, the Japanese secret police, said, you will work for us or we're going to put you in one of these camps. And, you know, she basically just got out of the... She was one of 15 different of those broadcasters who would get up there and, you know, call our soldiers boneheads. And my uncle was in the Pacific, and he loved her. He said they looked forward to listening to her because she always played the best music.
My father said the same thing. She had access to better music than anybody in the entire United States military.
Much better than Armed Forces Radio. He said they used to set their watches to listen to Tokyo Rose. Well, you know, after the war, I mean, you know, she confessed what she had done, and well, two reporters went over there and stirred the thing up, and she spent a year in prison and was let go. But back in the States, old droopy drawers, Walter Winchell, the asshole of his time, started a big stink about this poor woman. And President Truman wouldn't do anything about it, and she spent 8 years in the federal pen. And she was not guilty of treasonous act of anything, but because of a douchebag like Walter Winchell getting up and running his fat trap, and you know, he put this woman in jail for 8 years, and stole 8 years of her life, and she was only pardoned when Gerald Ford went out of office. He pardoned her.
I'll be darned, I'd forgotten that part of it. Of course, there was Lord Haw Haw on the other side of the other side of the conflict.
Well, he did. I mean, they hanged him for the. Well, that was William Fraley. He was some Irishman who'd gone to Germany and
right.
And they hanged him. They hanged him as high as Haman. They sure as hell did. Yeah.
But there's an even more interesting tale, and that is of the war crimes trials that came out of Rwanda. And it was basically three media executives from Rwanda who were put on trial under the War Crimes Act for having fomented some significant amount of the slaughter there. And, you know, I don't know where the line is, but there is one.
Well, you know, there are all types of yellow journalism people, whether they're in voice or they're in print. I mean, look at W.R. Hearst. You give me the pictures, I'll give you the war.
Sure. Havana.
And if anybody was as big a hypocrite, you know, he ran Mae West out of the movies and called her something like, isn't it time that Congress did something about Mae West, that she is such a creation of monstrous lubricity?
Monstrous lubricity.
And, well, of course... you know, W.R. had his little girlfriend, Marion Davies, and when they were on his, you know, he had bought the Kaiser's yacht, the Oneida, they were sailing down the coast. Of course, during Prohibition, they were all liquored up, and he caught what he thought was Charlie Chaplin having an dalliance with Marion Davies, and it was William Inge, the modern father of the American Western. He killed that man.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that the purse press hushed it up. Had a hopper got on board, said that the man had died of the flu. The body was cremated. And Hirsch was a crack shot. I mean, he could take a seagull with a revolver off the start of his yacht. He was that good.
That says something.
And so, I mean, you know, it's just amazing what some of these people are like. And, it, you know, his character was well portrayed in Citizen Kane, starring Orson Welles. But, I mean, we've had our share of them, have we not?
We certainly have.
And of the air.
Indeed.
Here's a little bit of information about Tokyo Rose.
Ma'am?
At no time when she was doing her broadcast from Tokyo, did she provide any, according to the FBI, she didn't come up with any anti-American stuff.
Oh, no.
She also risked her life to smuggle food into American prisoners of war.
Yeah, not surprising.
But none of that was brought forward at her trial. The people who convicted her perjured themselves.
Well, yeah, it was a bad deal when they had the trial in San Francisco. And she spent a year in jail in Yokohama before they cleared her over there. And she was cleared and home free. And all she wanted, and she could have taken Portuguese citizenship because she had married a Portuguese, but she wanted to be an American. And all the poor girl ever wanted to be was a physician. But she had to go to Japan and was at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Jim, have you seen the Clint Eastwood film about the Japanese perspective on Iwo Jima?
Oh, yeah, it is. It's quite good.
It's amazing. And, you know, of course, I don't know how much of it's fictionalized, but the relationship of the young Japanese officer when he's liaisoned to Washington, D.C., it's all just as touching as can be.
Well, they sort of based that on Yamamoto because he was, you know.
Well, yeah, Yamamoto was American educated and
And he Harvard, and he was also attaché at one time in Washington, I believe.
But it was a brilliant film. It truly was.
Well, at least Clint Eastwood does a hell of a lot better than Mel Gibson. I tried to watch Apocalypto the other night, and I just said, I cannot even take this. I said, you know, my corneas are going to turn back in my head. And, you know, it was just, I don't know what is wrong with that man, but he has just got to have the most sordid.
Well, it's what happens when fundamentalist religion gets hold of you, Jim.
Well, I don't know if it's religion or not. I just think he's got a screw loose. I really do. I mean, I enjoyed him when he was younger and played in plays at Gallipoli and The Year of Living Dangerously. He was quite good in those roles. But lately, something's just gotten a hold of him. And
he's gone off the deep end.
I think so, too. I don't think it's religion. I just think that he's basically needs...
Well, what's he poured? $20 million into that weird sect there in Malibu? The one that denies Vatican II and has all the weird rules for how women have to dress to come to church and
probably so. Maybe it could be so. Maybe he thinks he's trying to atone for.
Well, the man's given interviews, Jim, where he said that his wife, the Episcopal, is going to hell.
His own wife is?
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's just.
You know, that's a little bit, you know, but, you know, a pox on her for staying with him.
Yeah.
Well, that
but he'd probably crucify her if she tried to get a divorce.
Well, yeah, he probably would. And
I don't mean figuratively. I mean, he's one of those people.
Well, I mean, in the movie he made, didn't he use his own arm and fist, sort of like Saddam used his for the thing, for Marco's hand, if he nailed the nail in?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand what's happened to him, Look, you know, I used to really like him as an actor. I mean, he did some good work, but then he's just lately...
Well, the work that you enjoyed was him having to be an actor and not having any hand in the making of the movie. That's the real difference.
Yeah, unfortunately, not all actors can make good producers and good directors, that's for sure.
You got to remember, his father, Hutton Gibson, moved his family from America to Australia to keep Mel out of the Vietnam conflict.
Now, there's some kind of bizarre relationship that was going on there between him and his father.
Well, his father is, and I hesitate to even use this phrase after the fracas of last night, but his father is an honest-to-God, out-of-the-closet anti-Semite.
Right. Exactly.
Mel moved him here to West Virginia, not too far from where I am now, because Hutton Gibson said, I'll go to West Virginia because there are no Jews there. Nobody can live in West Virginia without working, and Jews never work.
Is he still here?
What?
Or there?
Haven't heard lately. Yeah, Susan. Yeah, really.
Good grief.
My goodness. I don't understand that sort of thing.
I don't understand that kind of attitude. I really don't.
Well, I mean, you know, it swept up an entire honorable nation with Adolf Hitler. You saw what he did with it.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, it's just amazing, you know, the...
Oh, update on the Looney Tune from New Hampshire. Eisenberg, the man's name, Leland Eisenberg of 7 Brook Drive in Somersworth, New Hampshire, was scheduled to appear at Stratford County Superior Court at 1:30 p.m. today with his wife Lisa Warren Eisenberg for a final domestic violence hearing. Court officials were unable to provide the domestic complaint filed against Eisenberg. In March, Eisenberg caused a stir with Rochester police when he complained his constitutional rights were violated when police stuck a flyer in his unlocked vehicle warning him to lock his vehicle. Sounds like a right-wing nut to me.
Well,
yeah.
I think he needs to be on some kind of major phenothiazine. You know?
Thorazine at the very least.
Yeah, I would think so. You know, I will say this, and I know a lot of people don't care for Mrs. Clinton, but I personally, and this is just my own personal opinion, I have a great deal of respect for her. Because, I mean, she put up with a lot of stuff from her husband. And she took something bad and made something good out of it. And she stuck by him.
Well, she put up with a lot of grief from the other side, too. Remember,
absolutely.
And you know, the guy is still in the Congress, which just makes me wonder about his district. Dan Burton of Indiana very proudly proclaimed that he had solved the murder of Vince Foster by going into his backyard and shooting watermelons with a handgun, and that proved that Hillary killed Vince Foster.
Oh, Lord. You know, it's just...
Yeah, when are they going to let that poor bedeviled man rest? I know, they're never going to let him rest. As long as they can try and pin it on Hillary, she's going to be dead 100 years, and they're still going to be trying to pin it on her.
Well, I find her to be a very capable, very intelligent person, and I would have no problems at all in voting for her. I had no problems at all with Geraldine Ferraro, and, you know, I cannot see any problem with a woman being president.
Generically speaking, Jim, I don't. My problems with Senator Clinton are strictly policy-driven. If she is my party's nominee, I will vote for her.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
I think she's quite capable.
But you got to, I mean, I played that clip from Glenn Beck just as an example. Like I said, pick a right-wing hate monger, whether it's Limbaugh, O'Reilly, the Savage Wiener, Beck, Bortz, that Melanie Morgan out in San Francisco, who said that she wanted to put a bullseye on Nancy Pelosi. These are all just typical examples. And then I see earlier today a report of a bumper sticker that simply said, "I wish OJ had married Hillary."
Well, that just doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, that makes as much sense as roses are red, violets are blue, I like peanut butter, let's screw. That doesn't make a bit of sense to me.
But you understand what the thrust is, so that O.J. would have slashed her throat instead of Nicole's.
Well, see, my mind doesn't run into this track, so that's just, I don't know. Listen, I'm going to say one more thing, and I'll get off here. This is about another strange man. This guy named Grasshopper Jimmy out in California. I think he was going to run for mayor of San Francisco. Well, he was on top of a purple van, naked as a coin, playing his guitar, and he got arrested for indecent exposure.
Jim, so, where you? I don't know. I don't want to know where you find these things because I might start looking too.
The San Francisco radio stations. I told you about.
Oh, okay. Oh, you got it there. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I got it. Energy 90.7 with Greg and Fernando. I mean, if you want to get the skinny on all the latest stuff that's going on, I mean, they have very good reportage.
I'll be darned.
And they're two gay sportscasters. And what they say is, and say it's got balls, we're right on it.
I love it, Jim.
Oh, thank God for Fridays. Jim, thanks very much, and have yourself a great weekend, all right?
Well, likewise, you too. And Susan, good night. You take care. And
good night,
bye-bye.
Jim. Thank you.
Bye now, Jim. Let's see. I think we've got I don't know, maybe this will be a busy signal, but... Yeah, it turned into a busy signal. Okie doke.
I don't know if anybody noticed it, but we lost a rather unique personage.
Evel Knievel?
Evel Knievel.
Yep. Oh, I was a big Evel Knievel fan in my youth.
Oh, so was I in my misspent youth. And then I grew up and said, my God, what is he doing that for?
I remember, I remember the big Snake River Canyon thing at one point was going to be what they used to call closed circuit television.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to have it down at the local movie theater. And I'm, Dad, please, can I have the $10? Can I have the $10? I want to go see this. I got to see this. Man, he's going to jump the Snake River Canyon, Dad. Dad said, son, I'll do you a favor. I've got $10 here. And he was a smoker at the time. And he gets the $10 bill out, and he said, tell you what, I'll go ahead and set fire to this right now. And it'll be the same difference. So, needless to say, you know, it didn't happen. But no bigger, no better showman. And apparently he had just settled a dispute with Kanye West.
Yeah.
Over something where Kanye West called himself Evil Kanye... Kanye Knievel or something, or Jesus, who cares?
Yeah.
Never a dull moment. No, so, yeah, Evel Knievel's gone. I got all kinds of weird stuff in the stack tonight. I got a story, let you know, I brought up that constitutional amendment business a couple of nights ago that's going to define in Colorado, Mississippi, Georgia, and Michigan... that hopes to define a fully functioning human as a fertilized egg.
Yeah.
I got a story here, and you know, it's one of those things where these things don't come out into the media by accident. You know, somebody had to spoon-feed this thing to CNN. I got that for later, and I hope I don't forget to play the audio. It plays right into the hands of the Control the Women's Bodies movement.
In regards to your horn section last night, I laughed myself silly, and I'm seriously considering planning on converting.
Oh, thank you so much for putting up the, what is it, the eight I'd rather nots?
Yes.
Or, no, the I'd eight rather I'd rather you didn't.
Yes. Those are from the Gospel of the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
And it's just beautiful. Let's see. Oh, here it is. Yeah, here's the link. Let's go over this real quick. This is precious because there's a lot to recommend the Flying Spaghetti Monster religion.
Oh, heavens yes.
Instead of 10 commandments, they've only got 8, and they're not commandments. They're the I'd really rather you didn't.
Exactly.
Mosey the pirate brought them down from the mountain, and he dropped 2 on the way, so that's why there's only 8. I'd rather you didn't, number 1. I'd really rather you didn't act like a sanctimonious holier-than-thou ass when describing my noodly goodness. If some people don't believe in me, that's okay. Really, I'm not that vain. Besides, this isn't about them, so don't change the subject. Two, I'd really rather you didn't use my existence as a means to oppress, subjugate, punish, eviscerate, and or, you know, be mean to others. I don't require sacrifices, and purity is for drinking water, not people. I read that last one, and I thought of Peter Godbold's great phrase, normal is a setting on a dryer.
Right.
Number three, I'd really rather you didn't judge people for the way they look, or how they dress, or the way they talk, or, well, just play nice, okay? Oh, and get this into your thick heads. Woman equals person. Man equals person. Samey equals samey. One is not better than the other, unless we're talking about fashion, and I'm sorry, but I gave that to women and some guys who know the difference between teal and fuchsia. Four, I'd really rather you didn't indulge in conduct that offends yourself or your willing, consenting partner of legal age and mental maturity. As for anyone who might object, I think the expression is go yourself, unless they find that offensive, in which case they can turn off the TV for once and go for a walk for a change. Five, I'd really rather you didn't challenge the bigoted, misogynistic, hateful ideas of others on an empty stomach. Eat, then go after the bitches. Six, I'd really rather you didn't build multi-million-dollar churches, temples, mosques, shrines to my noodly goodness when the money could be better spent, take your pick, ending poverty, curing diseases, living in peace, loving with passion, and lowering the cost of cable. I might be a complex carbohydrate omniscient being, but I enjoy the simple things in life. I ought to know I am the creator. Seven, I'd really rather you didn't go around telling people I talk to you. You're not that interesting. Get over yourself. And I told you to love your fellow man. Can you not take a hint? Eight. And the final one. I'd really rather you didn't do unto others as you would have them do unto you if you are into stuff that uses a lot of leather lubricant Las Vegas. If the other person is into it, however, pursuant to number four, then have at it, take pictures, and for the love of Mike, wear a condom. Honestly, it's a piece of rubber. If I didn't want it to feel good when you did it, I would have added spikes or something. I'm down with that. I can get along fine with all of that.
Yeah, I just love the whole concept of it. In fact, I'm seriously considering getting the buying the book just so I can read it, because I'll probably just die laughing.
Well, I want one of those flying spaghetti monster magnets for my car so bad I can taste it.
Oh, did you see up on the web, there is a some guy created a and this is going to make the Warren Christmas Fundy Club, their head's going to explode. A guy came up with a holiday decoration in lights, and then he made a Christmas card up for the flying spaghetti monster.
Oh, goody.
I'll send you the link. Or better yet, I'll post it. The graphic of it, the picture.
Oh, do please. I'd love to see that. And you know, it started out as a joke, but it's interesting. The flying spaghetti monster religion was recently treated as a legitimate faith by the American Religion Association.
Yeah.
They had a panel discussion about it at some convention where American Religion Association aficionados gather and talk about religion.
Well, you know, you read last night the letter that the founder of the religion sent to the the Kansas Board of Education.
Yeah, the thing that got the whole movement going.
Yeah, did you read any of the replies?
Yes, I did.
Did you read that one that was obviously from a fundie?
Several were obviously from a fundie. I mean, this has been a while, but yeah, I did the whole website once upon a time.
No, it was only one. There was only one.
Okay. You're talking about the school board member.
Yeah, the school board member. Yeah. You know, you mock God, you know, that routine.
God is not mocked. No, he's not. Yeah. I'm telling you all about him. I'm trying to share his noodly goodness with you.
Yes, his noodly goodness. You know, I'm just like, oh, God, I've got to get more into this. Yeah, I'm going to start posting stuff about the Flying Spaghetti Monster, because especially at this Christmas season, we need to have more religion in our life.
Well, as the Pastafarians say, Susan, ramen.
Ramen, yes, ramen.
And if you ever get a chance to sit there and play the little flash game, you may be at your computer for hours on end, just because it's so cute when you use his noodly appendage to reach down and zap the little pirates, and they all go yar when you do.
Well, I've been trying, but I haven't managed to get anybody yet.
Oh, so you did find it then?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know if I'm finding the right game.
Oh, is it? If it's the one where the Flying Spaghetti Monster sort of hovers along over sort of a parkland where people are walking around, you have to touch people and turn them into pirates. That's what it is.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's
yeah. I must be singularly inept because I haven't been able to do it yet.
Well, that's okay. I was playing along with it and, you know, having a fine old time, and Ferg walked back here, and this was a couple of years ago. And he walked back here and started playing it and just whipped my butt. I mean, he was creating pirates left and right, and he's like, what's wrong with you, Dad? I mean, what are you, just like a geek or something? Can't you play? You know, and he's a little guy. And he's got the mouse, and he's hovering, and yar, yar, yar.
Yeah, I'm going to have to start putting Flying Spaghetti Monster bulletins up occasionally, because we need more religion in our life.
Well, more sane religion at the very least. Well, you're welcome. You're welcome to do so, Susan, and I invite you to, because it's as good a use of your time as just about anything else going on out there.
Sure. And if nothing else, it'll bring a giggle to people, and hopefully to people who are not so totally freaked out by religion. Anyway, on that note, I am going to leave you because it is getting upwards to the top of the hour. I have to keep an eye on the clock for you, Bob.
Yes, everybody and, does. All right, well, we'll just play a little music. We'll play a little music heading into the news. Let's see. Let me fire this thing up here as you go away.
Give my love to Agnes.
I sure will. And since we're talking about Flying Spaghetti Monster religion, how about a pirate looks at 40? Jimmy Buffett.
Oh, great.
We'll see you, Susan.
Okay,
Mother,
bye-bye.
Another ocean, I've heard you call.
We'll be back after the news. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Since I was 3 feet tall, you've seen it all. You've seen it all. Watched the men who rode you switch from sails to steam. In your belly you hold the treasures you have ever seen. Most of them dream. Most of them dream. Yes, I am a pirate. 200 years too late. The cannons don't thunder. There's nothing to plunder. I'm an over 40 victim of fate. Arriving too late. Arriving too late. Run my share of grass. I made enough money to buy Miami, but I missed it away so fast. Never meant to last. Never meant to last. Just a few friends. Just a few friends. takes a while. Just takes a while. Mother, Mother Ocean, after all the years I've found, occupational hazard be my occupation's just not around. I feel like I drown. Gonna head up town. I feel like I drown. Gonna head up town.
This is the Quality News Network. Three hostages, including a young child, have been released unharmed after a man carrying a bomb suddenly appeared at Hillary Clinton's campaign headquarters in Rochester, New Hampshire, this afternoon. The man is currently holed up inside the campaign office, reportedly with one other person, possibly a woman. Armed SWAT teams surround the perimeter. The man, identified as Leland Eisenberg of Summersworth, that's according to CNN reports. The man is demanding to speak with Senator Clinton, who is currently campaigning elsewhere in Washington, D.C. and Virginia under now increased secret security detail. Five Amtrak crew members were seriously injured in today's train crash on Chicago's South Side. An Amtrak train collided with a freight train on the same track while making its regular run between Grand Rapids, Michigan and Chicago. The National Transportation and Safety Board will investigate. A passenger jet crashed into a rocky mountain in the southwestern part of Turkey early this morning, killing all 57 aboard. The cause of the crash is unknown. Weather and mechanical problems have been ruled out. Australia's new prime minister says he'll pull one-third of his country's combat troops out of Iraq within the next 6 months. Australian forces are stationed primarily in the relatively calm southern portion of the war zone. In Baghdad, security forces carried out a pre-dawn raid arresting dozens of Sunni militants. That after a bomb was discovered in front of a leading Sunni Arab politician's office. Among those arrested was the politician's own son. Talks between the European Union and Iranian leaders ended without resolution today in London. Tehran's refusal to freeze uranium enrichment ended with discussions. That's according to the EU's foreign policy chief. The White House and several major financial institutions are working toward agreement on a proposal that would freeze interest rates for specific subprime home loans in trouble. According to the Wall Street Journal, an agreement could buy time for both borrowers and banks, possibly for as long as 7 years. An American daredevil, Evel Knievel, passed away today. According to his website, Evel Knievel was 69 years old. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Now this.
As the world moves to the Internet for marketing, promotion, sales, and communications, it is important to stake out your presence, your business, or yourself in an effective way. The people at Byte Technology know how to define your best self on the web so that people who know you and those who will want to can get a clear picture of who you are and what you have to offer. Byte Technology will design your website so that you will attract new customers and keep your current client base engaged and informed. As McLuhan said, the medium is the message. And never was that more true than in the new Internet commerce world. Whatever your business, selling products or services, to the general public or to a niche market, you need a presence that smart people, the people who make the best customers, can find quickly and understand immediately. Byte Technology will custom produce such a site for you. Byte Technology. See the difference at byte-technology.com or call 831-656-9178.
Hollywood writers will consider a new deal offered by studios. The contract offers to pay millions of dollars for projects shown on the Internet. Shares of Dell Computers dropped 10% after the company announced its profit margin failed to meet Wall Street expectations. Dell also warned future results may be affected by increased production costs. Reuters reports Sprint Nextel has rejected a $5 billion investment offer from two private equity groups. Consumer spending is up 0.2% for last month. Personal incomes rising by the same amount, according to the government. Both figures, however, weaker than analysts' expectations, indicating softer economic growth. British Petroleum has agreed to pay $20 million and plead guilty to federal pollution charges. Back in March of last year, BP's lack of routine pipeline maintenance led to a 200,000-gallon oil spill onto the Alaskan tundra. Del Monte Foods cut its annual earnings forecast after the posting a lower-than-expected quarterly profit. Company cited a surge in costs for commodities like corn and wheat. Shares fell more than 6%. At this week's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 60 points to end at 13,371. NASDAQ down 7 points, the S&P 500 up 11. There's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Oh, that happened quick. I still don't have all the little pieces of cheese out of my teeth. I snack during the news. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On for a Friday night. It is the front porch. If you or several of you want to get together and chime in and talk amongst yourselves, and I'll sort of moderate and be playground monitor. That could be fun. I'm feeling much better this evening. I just got done yesterday evening and just kind of wanted to get a shower. I'll tell you honestly, I've strongly considered taking a vow on air never to mention the words Israel or Palestine again, either on air or off, and just leave that whole poisonous segment of the world to destroy itself and, let it be on their own heads. But I probably won't, because sometimes it gets under my skin so thoroughly that I can't do anything about it. Let's go to the phones and see who we've got here. Hey, welcome to the program.
This would be Kate. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, thanks for making your call.
And you were just about to make some kind of promise with your alligator ass that your hummingbird mouth can't keep, huh?
God, you know me.
Well, I just assume I only recognize that in myself. Thank you for the bumper music. That was so cool. I love that song. Oh, God, I can't do that song without crying. And as I was sitting here singing it, I realized, oh, my goodness, I'm on my way to Pascagoula.
You're on the Pascagoula run.
I'm heading out pretty quick, a few hours, a day or two or something. But not only was Jimmy born in Pascagoula, but his birthday is coming up on the 25th.
Six.
Christmas baby.
Yeah, no, yeah, you're right. He is Christmas. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. It's Bear Bryant. It's 9/11.
Yeah, and, he will
Tom
be, let's see, 1946. Oh, so, yeah, he'll be 61. Yeah. He'll be 61 years old Christmas Day.
Yeah, and Kenny Stabler will be 60. He's a year younger, huh?
Is that right? No, yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Christmas Day. Yep. Say the Christmas babies. Ain't that special? Ain't that special? A little bit of trivia. Some of the front porch. Love Jim's stories today. That was very cool. I also wanted to thank, I hope Wayne called in tonight, because I wanted to hear about the rally. I noticed he was in chat the other night, but he didn't get in on the call soon enough, so I hope he's listening and called in. And I also wanted to thank folks who mailed any mail that you mailed into the snail mail address for listener. I don't know what the response was, but whoever mailed stuff in, thank you very much. But I seriously doubt if we got any place close to the monthly goal, and I just wanted to point out that this is 3 months in a row that we're running in the black, in the red, I mean. And that's pretty scary.
But that's okay, because there are text websites out there, and this is my catty moment, Kate. There are text websites out there that say that they are defending democracy, that have now raised, in less than a month, $25,000. Good on them.
Well, yeah. So you could, so when the, those pink envelopes start coming from people who want money from Head On Radio Network, you can just tell them, well, you know, there's something you, that won't wash. The dog ate my homework in a good movie.
No, it very seldom does.
And it's even more important to me because when I listen to a lot of different radio, I have a lot of different news sources like Shortwave and BBC and Sirius, and I'm all over the dial, and IDX on Shortwave, and I was in the middle of the night, I listened to Left Coast Radio in Denver and San Francisco, and there are just very, very, very few. There's little bitty pockets like Bernie Ward in San Francisco at 10 o'clock at night, East Pacific time, who have anything comparable to what we've got here on the Horn, where we can get the other side of the story or maybe more information. Or, you know, when you take away all the adjectives, you've got the facts, Atticus Finch. We just don't have any access to any information. And if we lose this, I just scares the stuffing out of me.
I feel like I've come pretty close to maintaining my to fulfilling my vow. I said on the 14th of November I wasn't gonna do another pitch or anything like that.
Excellent job. That's why I called in tonight.
It is the 30th though. My vow is fulfilled.
Yes.
And I'm gonna say something now about December, and I hope I don't piss people off, Kate. But the fact of the matter is, we went out on credit and got the stuff to build this new computer.
Right.
And got some of the stuff. We're not done getting the stuff to start doing video.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't, and I know it's December and it's a lousy time to do this, but you know what? It's not like it was timed this way. But if December doesn't yield $3,500, it's going to put us in a real bind, because when the interest kicks in on the credit account that we use to purchase the components and so forth, you know, it's like 90 days, same as cash.
Right.
On day 90 plus 1 minute, boom, 29% interest.
Oh, yeah.
Or 24 or 22. And it's the, you know, it's the, you know, revolving account sort of compounded hourly interest where, yeah, hell, it might as well have been Rent-A-Center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also heard a little, I saw someplace today that their oil's down $88. And so even though we had the big blowout in Canada, people, my excuse, an excuse may be the gas just kicking my butt. Well, the gas prices haven't gone up around here. I checked the gas buddy, and it's only $3.39 in some San Francisco, where it's usually higher than anywhere. Anyhow, there's so many ways to put the Horn on a Christmas list, or whatever the hell you do with, I mean, it's just, but 15% of, in any organization I've ever been affiliated with, only 15% of the people do the work. And so, my assumption is that the 15% of us who are pulling the wagon, we're doing the best we can, and it's just not enough. And if somebody would just, well, never mind. But I just want to say I really appreciate. It's nice to know that the 15% of us are out there doing what we can. And if we can't get the wagon up over the hill, then we're just going to have to leave it parked and listen to Glenn Beck. That's, you know.
Oh. You know, that was artfully done, Kate. I mean, the razor was already, I mean, the shiv was already in my ribs before I knew I'd been hit. We're just going to have to sit back and listen to Glenn Beck.
Well, there are very few other opportunities, unless people want to log on to KGO at 10 o'clock Pacific time and listen to Bernie Ward, because he's what I miss the most about being in Arizona. They have a blowtorch station out of KGO, and any place I ever lived or any place I ever camped when I was homeless, I always had to, if I couldn't pick it up at 10 o'clock, I'd move to another, go to a different mountaintop. God have my fix of Bernie Ward. But I also wanted to say that Since I'm heading out for Pascagoula, there's an upside to this, but I probably won't be waking up thinking and being concerned about, oh, God, what are we going to do now?
No, you're going to have plenty to wake up and be concerned about when you get to the Gulf
Coast.
Right.
The horn will be probably like the last thing on my mind when I wake up in the morning. Maybe not the last thing, because I probably can hang long enough to catch Peter before I fall asleep and fall over in it or, you know, whatever. But I feel like I'm kind of making closures on it. There are people who are listening to me. Thank God, Kate.
Well, I hope people, I hope people don't take it wrong, but I've looked at this. You know, I sat down with Agnes. I said, you know, it's a rotten time to be doing this. It's the Christmas season. And Agnes said, you know, you're not responsible for the calendar.
No. And if you don't ask and you don't tell, I mean, if people don't know, if the audience don't know, we need to have the, I don't know what happened to the graph on the web page, but God, that was a nice one. And if it dinked up the web page, to fix it. You got IT people there to do the job. But, you know, if you got a problem.
That's an IT person. That's John Fox, and he is working on it. We talked about it a little bit. Sometimes we have to wait for weekends because, you know, and you know, that's the thing with everybody associated with this effort, with the exception of me. Everybody else is holding down a real job.
Yeah.
I spend, you know, anywhere from 12 to 14 to 18 hours a day just making sure that it goes. And I don't mean, I'm not, this is not poor, poor, pitiful me. This is something I've chosen, and it's something that I will not willingly walk away from. I will have to be driven away from it.
Like, everybody's got a real job. That's like the line. Oh, my old lady, she's just a housewife.
Yeah, that's kind of like that.
She stays home and raises the kids.
Yeah, oh, I stay home and push the electrons.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, not to diminish your import in this whole. Without you, we.
But no, I mean, there's so much. I have so much respect for people who go out and work 8 hours and then still find a way to get behind a microphone and crank it up because, you know, maybe this is a little bit of pulling the curtain back, Kate. But you can't just open the mic and go.
Oh,
it's performance based.
Mm-hmm.
I know now, you know. I'm certainly, I can't play a guitar like John Fox can play a guitar or any of the people I admire can play a guitar or an organ or drums or can't paint a picture, can't sculpt a statue. And I'm
can't
not a...
Dance like Peter. You can't vamp.
Can't
like
dance
Peter.
Like Peter. but no, this is, it is an art in its own right. And the people who are best at this stuff are the people who understand that it's an art.
So
I satisfy myself by thinking that from time to time I'm doing impromptu poetry.
For sure.
And I got my poetry degree from the back of a matchbook, and you know that's what I'm doing here.
It's all theater.
Well, it is.
Well,
theater. Theater. You got to say it like that, Kate. It's theater.
I spell it with an R-E.
Shh, so do I.
So I. Yes, and the spell check catches it every time, and I say, shut up, you idiot. ill-informed, never mind. Talking to Microsoft is not what... I need a life, huh?
A little bit. But, you know, I'm looking forward to the weekend. We've got some technical stuff going on. I am going to be an absolute football geek tomorrow.
Why is that?
Well, we've got the...
I'm sure David will call in and tell us, huh?
Well, the SEC championship is tomorrow. The Big 12 championship, which will determine whether or not Missouri goes to the national championship. And then tomorrow evening, the 100th revival of West Virginia University versus Pitt. And we say, eat Pitt. And it rhymes with pit, what we want them to eat.
Yeah, I bet it does, yeah. That all sounds very exciting.
Well, no, it's not, but it is for me. So if so, you know, so if Missouri beats OU and WVU beats Pitt, it's Missouri and WVU for the national championship on like January the 8th.
Oh my!
Yeah.
Exciting.
And I'm just enough of well, no, I'm not going to bring that part up.
save all of that for when David calls in tonight. I know I can go to the kitchen and get another cup of coffee when you two get going on. But I haven't been a rabid football fan since Kenny Stabler played for the Oakland Raiders, and so that dates me, ages me, puts me way out of the loop in most conversations anymore. They say, Oakland Raiders? The Raiders haven't been in Oakland since. Oh, my God, how old are you?
But they're back now, so, you know, you were right all along.
Huh?
Yeah, they're back in Oakland. Yeah, yeah. So I think they are.
I didn't know that.
You know, I'm really not that good at following the No Fun League. I'm a college football geek, but yeah. There's that. But then on the other side of that is it's hard to say when or how. But this weekend and the weekend following, we're really really pouring a lot of energy into getting video ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes, tidying up the studio. Because I got to admit, it's a radio studio. So therefore, you can imagine what it looks like in your mind. You know, maybe the sauna and the steam room are right behind me. But that all changes when we turn the camera on, and I just I'm not going to embarrass myself with what this looks like, because it's piles of components and wires and this and that and monitors here, there, and everywhere. So we're spending a lot of time on that, and it's exciting.
You and Alex are whipping it all into shape, huh?
Yeah.
I guess I don't understand how come I'm dating myself again. I don't understand how come anybody would want to watch radio on TV. I mean, watch radio. It's something I may get used to it, but I just don't understand it. It's sort of like the debates the other night.
But you know, you'd be surprised. I've gotten emails. You know, ooh, Bob, it would be really cool if you did that. Have you seen Sam Cedar's Sammy Cam? And so, you know, it has to be responsive to the wants and needs and desires of the audience. I don't want to burn up too many of your minutes, but it is the front porch, and I've got a beeping light here.
Well, get on that light. Who is it?
Who have we got?
Hi, this is Juanita.
Well, hello, Juanita. How are you, dear?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
Kate is with us as well.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, Juanita. Hey,
how you doing?
I'm doing good. Good. I said, what's on your brain tonight?
Oh, so many things. First of all, I'd like to say that what you do, Bob, is, to me, is like an ice-cold glass of water when you haven't had anything to drink for a long, long time. And it's a healing thing for, you know, we haven't been able to hear for so long the truth and pick people who have minds to think with, people who are well informed and all. And honest to God, I think after the last presidential election, now see, I have to take stuff for a nerves because I had, you know, I've all had mental problems all my life. And it quit working after that election. And if I hadn't had, like, left-wing radio to turn to, I don't know what I would have done.
That humbles me, Juanita. It truly does.
I want you to know that you're extremely talented. I mean, you've got a wonderful voice. You're highly educated. You don't shove it down people's throats. You make it interesting. And you're very knowledgeable. And now some people don't get into things, you know, don't know as much. You know what I'm saying? I like to hear them, but they don't get into things as much as you do. Because I can say something, and you pretty much know what I'm talking about. But I really did. I just really got in a heck of a shape after that last presidential election. I really did. It really got to me. And it took me a while to get over it. And I don't think I could have without left-wing radio.
Well, say that again, Kate, because I think this is important.
I said, Juanita, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, I was going to say the whole country got in the same shape you were in.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have not recovered from it. There's a sense of I've been, since then, I've been all over, not all over, but I've traveled around quite a bit around the country, and there's been a shift in the society that just astounds me. I just can't believe we have rabid tempers. We can't listen to each other talk. We can't have conversations with each other. Yesterday in the chat room and on the first couple of hours of Head On, it was really evident that kind of vitriol and anger. I mean, it's just, and people are just flashing anger. It's not, and it isn't, it's not necessarily has to do with anybody's personality particularly, but it's a whole societal shift, and we're on the verge of something, and I'm not real sure what it is, but I don't even go out in like shopping malls and big crowds and stuff because people are just so ugly, and I hear conversations in checkout line, and I think, I just want to say, excuse me, where do you get your information? My Lord, you know, and so I had to pull back and stay out of it, and I can't have conversations with people because I don't know where they're coming from. If they have the radical fundamentalists, I can't even make jokes about stuff, and if they happen to be Rush Limbaugh listeners, I have given up many, many, many friends and relationships because there's nothing to talk about, nothing. And so what you went through at the time of the elections is still going on all over the country, and we're the laughingstock of the globe. And so I don't know. It's we're on the verge of something. We're on the edge of something that's pretty freaky to me.
I believe that too.
I'm not going to get into any kind of metaphysical Armageddon kind of.
No prognostications.
I just hope. I think it could go either way. Don't you?
Well, I don't know.
Hopefully it'll go a good way.
I've just said many more than once that all I can do is just keep putting out. If you will concede to the point that the energy that we put out is what we get back. That's kind of like physics and universal law, but all I can do is just, you know, there's something to.
Well, you know, I think there's a lot to that. I think when you do that, I think it's a lot because I think a lot of the problem is who we've got in charge, and there's so much hate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just
and
hate.
And
do you hear some of the people?
Hmm?
Yeah, you hear some of the people that call into C-SPAN. And we're all stupid. We all need to be rounded up and everything else. You know, I mean, horrible stuff.
Yeah.
And what passes for humor on the other side, that bumper sticker that I read of earlier today, the one that said, you know, I wish OJ had married Hillary Clinton.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, that's a real knee slapper.
They don't know what humor is.
Because of the people who think that's funny, that they are, that chills my blood. It just scares me. And
to me, that's like the, you know, when they had about the, at the Republican convention, and they had those, tapes with.
Oh, the Purple Heart Band-Aids?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a real knee slapper, too.
And, you know, they just thought that was so funny. And you know, you can die from a teeny tiny wound. It hits the right spot.
Right. We're the whole society, we're dying from a thousand, we're bleeding to death from 1,000 paper cuts. It's just,
well, not to, you know, not to make this all about me or anything, but that's so true, Juanita. My uncle, whom I never met, died in the Second World War from a tiny piece of shrapnel that went into his knee.
My goodness.
And the new penicillin was out, but it had all been shipped up to the Normandy front, and they gave him sulfa, and he became septicemic and died from it.
Uh-huh. Wow.
But, you know, that would...
They are laughing and mocking.
Yeah, and I remember when that all went down, I was still on terrestrial radio.
Uh-huh.
And I came home after seeing that and discussing it on the air, and I got my Uncle Fred's Purple Heart out, and I just sat there with it in my lap, and his flag from his coffin, and just wept. But at the same time that I was weeping, they weren't tears of grief.
Mm-hmm.
They were what is
relief?
Off. No, they were tears of rage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because honest to God, if I could have gotten my hands around the throats of any of those people with those Purple Heart Band-Aids on their faces, I would have strangled them. I would have.
And all that goes out, you know, just like Russia's got people convinced that, oh, that wasn't torture.
Oh, he sells Club Gitmo T-shirts. You know, this guy who makes $29 million a year is hustling T-shirts, making fun of people who have had broom handles stuck up their rectums.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's another reason we've got in
the atmosphere in this country.
You're right.
It makes you sick. It really does.
It does. Kate, you were saying something?
That's one of the reasons I don't go out in public very much, because I can barely get through a rest area in the Deep South or the Southwest or in Texas or any damn where, because and I've said more than once, that's why I don't pack when I'm out on the road, because I'd use it. Oh, I have the rage sometimes. I just have that same kind of rage that you have. I just thought that you had, Bob, with your Uncle Purple Heart. There's just sometimes I can't do anything but just... Listen to you and Mike Malloy, and then when you guys aren't available, just cry. And it's frightening rage, actually. And so I don't know what to do with it except try to turn it into something productive and go down and do something for Katrina relief. And there's I heard from a colleague who I was going down to work with, and she's got the Katrina crud. She's got a rash that won't go away, like everybody else does, and she's got a cough and sinus infection that is that her sinuses are almost swollen shut, and that's another common symptom down there. And so she's not even working with the clients or survivors. And the other person I'm going down to work with has a broken right foot that's not Katrina related, but it's certainly put her into a spin that she just, you know, there's just. And they're taking away, I think today was over in Louisiana, they're closing up some of the FEMA parks today. And they said FEMA will have case managers out helping people find housing. There is no housing. They did all of 90 across at Biloxi all the way over. They tore down all the affordable housing and put up casinos and high-end condos on the beach and that sort of thing. So there's no housing. Not even for the workers in the casinos. And so, and in Pascagoula, there's still like, I don't know how many thousand people are still in FEMA trailers. And so it's all I can do is just re-channel my energy and give as much love as I've got, and just forget about the people who bring on the rage. And I tell Bob and Mike Malloy both, you guys have to stay in that chair because you're doing for me what I my rage is silent all day long, and I have to when I can hear you guys at night, then you know it provides some kind of a release. There's nothing else to know that I'm not alone out here with this seething anger, and the anger comes from fear. I mean, I just don't know where we're going or what.
And isolation, it comes from that too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if we can help. Yeah, if we can help people to understand, you're doing. I don't know. I don't know if you both realize this or not, but it's one of the reasons I do the front porch. You two are doing inestimable good in what you're saying right now. You're part of this process. It's not just me in this chair. It's you as well, because it takes. And I don't know why. I've never been mean to a caller that wasn't mean first. It takes people a lot of courage to pick up the phone and call and talk about this stuff. And by y'all doing this, how can I put it? You're pushing back the darkness for someone else that you don't even know.
Well, I just want to, I guess this is a public announcement that for the next few long weeks, maybe a couple, 3 months, this this call-in slot is going to be open, because I don't make plans, and I keep all my dreams in concrete, cast in stone, and my plans are all in pencil, so I don't know, but I can't imagine having the time or the energy to call in, and except for a slight update, and I'm glad to be vindicated. My first thought with the Trent Lott thing was, this is Katrina related, and sure as hell, and they did the whole boy saying nanny nanny nanny, the whole blah blah and the blah blah and the lobbying thing in 2 years, and I'm sitting back here going
and there it was,
and I even emailed Mike and said, on the 24th or whatever that was, I emailed you a line that said, buddy, this is Katrina related, and you didn't respond to me, and I feel like my magic magnifying conspiracy mind was really slipping. And he wrote back and said, no, you're right on.
Yeah, and that was something we covered on the Horn Section last night, and not on this program, but it's his brother-in-law, right?
Yeah.
Who was caught bribing a circuit judge and the guy had represented oodles of Katrina plaintiffs against the insurance company. On the one hand, you'd like to root for the guy. On the other hand, there's always somebody out there who's willing to screw it up. You know, the guy's going to get pulled from the cases, so what's going to happen to those plaintiffs who are still getting screwed by State Farm?
Right, and there's more underneath this. There's going to be more underneath this, because the FEMA debacle is that the corruption is getting deeper and deeper, and it's way over into Texas, and it's just getting... And I get so rageful when I think about the little 85-year-old blind, legally blind grandma who's still sitting in her trailer, and she goes out and weeds her little flower garden every day, and her house is, she can't get into her house. I mean, she's just, and the woman whose roof is still leaking because FEMA said you didn't get enough damage. I know her roof is still leaking. I know, Kate,
that there are people out there who want, who have a priority list of what they want out of a Democratic presidency in 2008, and they want an investigation of this, and they want an investigation of that, and they want to get to the bottom of this, and they want to really root out corruption
forget it. I don't even want that.
I want somebody to get deadly in earnest about finding out, not for purposes of vindication or punishment, but to find out why and how the response to that godforsaken hurricane that is almost 2.5 years gone now.
Mm-hmm.
I want somebody to find out how that happened, why that happened, and fix it yesterday.
It didn't take me. I was there 6 or 8 days. And it took me just that long to figure out this is totally genocide, and it's not going to get fixed. Mm-hmm. It's not going to get any better. And all we can do is just go down and give comfort. And I take a little food box over to the grandma and stay and sit around and, on her couch and talk and laugh and make fun, and we gossip. And, well, we don't swear very big. She's kind of a little Baptist lady, but she just can giggle a lot. And I do the swearing, and we just gossip and make fun of the government and this one and that one and rant about her worthless kids and stuff, and we just laugh and laugh and laugh, and pretty soon we're just about ready to wet ourselves. And I leave her a bag of black eyed peas and say, well, I'll be back Thursday. You want me to bring you some white meal? I can't talk like she does, but it took me a while. You know, as long as she's got something to, you know, like cook up a pot of beans, and we'll have a little bowl of black eyed peas with one bread, and that's all I can do is just go make people laugh and that, you know, she's going to die in that black moldy house, and so, you know, but she can die laughing.
I've got a book in my hands, ladies. It was sent to me by a listener. I won't tell who the listener's name was because I don't have permission. But it's something that I'm extremely grateful for that I've gone back to time and time again. A book called Blessed Unrest by a man named Paul Hawken.
Blessed Unrest?
Blessed Unrest.
Uh-huh.
And the subtitle is How the Largest Movement in the World Came into Being and Why No One Saw It Coming. And I guess Paul Hawken is an environmentalist, entrepreneur, journalist, you know, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And he I guess he's kind of taking a systems approach, which may speak to you, Kate.
Yeah.
Of all the activism that is out there. And I had a tough night yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I just happened to be, you know, I've read it before, and I was just thumbing through it again, and I found a passage, and I'm going to read from it here in a little bit, because it changed my day. And it's a lot of what you just talked about, Kate, about alleviating the suffering of one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We can't. If you take on global problems, you will lose, and you will be brokenhearted.
Right.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
If you solve one problem for one person, however, you've freed up one person to solve another for another.
That's right. That's right. And if Ms. Hexie's, the grandma who Black Eyed Peas, if her problem absolutely cannot be solved without qualified volunteers and some materials to go in and clean up that and do that and do that, and it'll take like 4 or 5 days, about 4 or 5 people working, her house would be back to normal. Back to normal. That's all it takes. Okay, I worked and worked and worked at trying to resolve that, trying to fix it, trying to get people begging and pleading and threatening and even putting money into it myself, and yeah, nothing. Her house is still the same. Well, if I can just make her day a little bit better because she's got a purpose and she knows that Ms. Kate is coming to have Black Eyed Peas on Thursday afternoon, then that's all I can do. Forget the walls, forget the mold, whatever, just give her a purpose. Makes me feel good. The peas are delicious. She's 75 years old from Alabama, and she can cook a mess of peas up like you.
That woman can fix a mess of Black Eyed Peas.
Got that right, son.
And God, if there was turnip greens to go with it, you know, just stop.
Well, she thinks she can't.
Or collards.
Because of her kidney, her something about kidney stones or some crap, I don't know. And I think, God, girl, you're going to die anyway. Let's just have the damn greens and put them as the bacon drippings in them. Damn, come on. But that's the point I was going to make, is that we're all going to die anyway. We may as well die laughing and eating bacon drippings, right?
We were put here to dance.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you, and I refuse to die with any song unsung. That's it. I just follow my bliss, much to the chagrin of other people. They go, Kate, you can't. What are you doing? You can't. Screw you.
Free your head, your ass will follow.
I just follow my bliss, and if anybody wants to come along, and if anybody gets in my way, shame on you, because, well, I. This way I don't pack a gun in my truck.
This public service announcement brought to you by the Head On Radio Network. Kate ain't packing.
But you don't want to mess with you. Do not want to mess with me. Ooh, my goodness sakes. And if I can't do it with my mouth, I mean, I just could chew somebody up and spit them out. And they just say, well, thank you, ma'am. They don't even know what hit them. So I just
can I have another?
Yeah, can we do that again? That was so good. Anyway, I want to let Juanita go on with what I've totally interrupted you 5 times, girl. I just want to say it's really sad to me that Mike lose this in December. So, whatever. It's up to us, and I don't know, 15% of us have been pulling the wagon, so if we could get some more people.
Oh, it's not. Oh, Kate, it's not 15%.
I mean, what?
It's not 5.
Oh.
It's.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought in well, usually in.
No, numbers being the numbers being what the numbers are. The people pulling this wagon are probably less than 1% of the listenership.
One? That really pisses me off. Oh, man. Well, my goodness. And then the people with
and the people who are pulling, the people who are pulling as hard as they can possibly pull.
Yeah, yeah. I sent my. those little MP, whatever those things, with the white ear plug things, whatever, and the people who are listening on those things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, damn, you had money to buy that. Can you just send some to the horn? I mean, you got a whole big shopping list for Christmas. Buy a littler tree. Buy a $5, take $5 off of everybody's present and put it in an envelope and send it to the snail mail. There are so many ways to get this off of the ground, but it's just like NPR. I feel like I'm on the membership drive for NPR, right, National Public Radio. We're listener supported. No, we're not then, huh? Well, I'm going to just hang up before I get profane. I had to wait. My reaction to that number was way out of proportion to...
Well, I'm sorry.
It's okay. maybe it affected somebody else. Because sometimes when I'm in a new town and I think, well, you know, there's a lot of people around here in Phoenix. They got a lot of money. They can support K-Jazz. They don't need my $10. That's not true. If it's just $5 or $10 from a whole bunch of people, will just be... So nice. Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm on my way to Pascagoula and Jimmy Buffett land, and I will be checking in whenever I can.
I just want to say something to you, Kate.
Huh?
Thank you for being you.
Well, thank you for being you. Thank you, sweet. Well, let's hang up before we start getting a toothache from the sugar, the sweet, huh?
Well, there's a time for all of that.
Yeah, there is. I could use a sugar high, right? A sugar hit right now. I appreciate it, Juanita, and I appreciate what you're doing, too. So I'm out of here, folks, and I'll next time I check in, I'll probably
be... Yeah, you know, I really feel bad that right now I can't financially support...
Oh, no, no, no.
Anyone.
Juanita, this wasn't.
I know you're not, but I'm just saying I feel bad, and I think, well, I don't have the right to call in because, honestly, it, you know,
Juanita, no. Juanita, Bob speaks to that issue every time this subject comes up, every time. And he really gets
the only problem with Bob, I'm afraid he's going to spend it on his jet plane.
Yeah, we've got to rechlorinate the water in the Olympic sized hot tub, Juanita.
Yeah, right. Anyway, I'm taking up way too much time. I wanted to hear from Wayne and see how the rally went, and hear David and Bob talk about football once more. You guys might convert me. I don't know. Anyway, well, y'all take care, and I'll catch you on down the road.
All right. Thank you, Kate. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for sacrificing your minutes.
Good night.
That's a good one, Bob. You got me. Oh, boy. Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, my goodness. No, Juanita, please don't ever think like that. Please don't.
Well, I do sometime. It's just me, my background, because my folks were always very giving people, and I've always been very giving, and it really hurts me. But I think sometimes the attitudes like Kate has, you know, and I try to, is I think sometimes that helps more than money. Sometimes I believe that. Maybe I'm wrong.
No. There's not. We don't have an attitude problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing, Juanita, where everybody on our side of the fight has their hands out. And
what?
It's what everybody on our side of the fight has their hands out, wanting money.
Mm-hmm.
And some more so than others. And I guess maybe I sound bitter when I talk about some and not others. The people who are central to the decision-making processes here came to the decision to do this very, very hesitantly. And because we'd given everything that we had to give.
Yeah.
So as a consequence of that, you know, we had to go to the contribution basis. And
well,
and
why
frankly,
not?
You know,
why not? You know, and
but because, you know, because Juanita, everybody does have their hand out. Everybody's got a PayPal button. Yada yada yada. It diminishes cooperation among organizations.
Oh, I see.
They're afraid that if they help you promote you, that somehow they're taking bread off their own table.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't see it that way myself, but I kind of, you know, understand. It's like there's a jealousy sometimes, too, don't you think, maybe?
You could probably call it that, too. You probably well and truly could.
That old green-eyed monster, sometimes, you think.
Yep.
You'd be surprised what it attacks.
I know.
Can I just say something about religion?
Yeah, go right ahead, please.
I had, you know, talked to you about the fear, and I have these little quotes that I'm trying to get my website going, and I've got, you know, I quoted the one from the Bible, but I found a great one by Bertrand Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that his name?
Yeah, and wow, what a 180 degree shift from the Bible, but yeah.
Well, in a way, but you know, I have atheist friends that I tell them, I said, you're more of a Christian, you're a better Christian than some who call themselves that.
Yeah.
And I believe that. You know, it's in the heart. It's the heart. Don't you think?
Sure it is. I mean, I don't know a lot of murderous atheists, but I know plenty of them who are who profess a member of some religion.
And the right wing, or the whatever you want to call it, those religions are the ones they kill and steal and destroy. Mm-hmm. And that's satanic.
Yeah.
I've said for a long time that I wanted to start my own church called the Just As I Amers.
Mm-hmm.
You know that song, Just As I Am?
I know it very well. I heard it every Sunday all my life growing up.
But you know the words, they don't live that.
No.
They say, just as you are, come on, just as you are, and okay, we got you now. You got to do this, you got to do that, blah, 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 this, blah, 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 that. And they just take the life out of you. They suck the life out of you. And I quit going to the denomination of my choice because I, you know, politics, and it was how horrible Hillary is, you know, and Clinton is no good, you know, and I just got tired of it. And I think the last time that I went was when Hillary was trying to get the health care through. And at that time I was working. And I had no insurance. I had dysfunctional bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, even though I was working, I couldn't go to a doctor. Even if I did go to a doctor, they, you know, needed to run a lot of tests. And so I remember going to church and being so happy, and this lady came up to me after church, and she was, I thought she was one of the sweetest people I ever knew. And she came up to me and she said, those Clintons are trying to get that health care in. And I said, she said, we got to do something about it. And I said, well, I don't even have health care. You know, because I was hoping that we would get something.
Right.
And she just kind of just like killed my soul. It was so down.
See, this is what drives me crazy about these people, Juanita. They can't even leave it alone long enough to go. They can't understand that there's some stuff that doesn't cross through into the sanctuary. I grew up in a Southern Baptist, and we didn't call it the cathedral or the basilica.
No,
the place where the service went on was called the sanctuary.
Right. Yeah.
And sanctuary means something. Sanctuary is a haven from the storm.
Right.
Sanctuary is a place where you go and you commune with your Creator. You seek your salvation. You beg mercy from the almighty force of the universe, however you care to describe it. And you see, just as the money changers sat in the temple in Yeshua's day, these right-wing religion industry political tools have defiled the very concept itself of sanctuary. Just as that person did.
That is so right. I totally agree.
And you're supposed to be safe in sanctuary.
Right.
But you're not. They won't let you be.
No. And I just said, okay, that's fine. I quit going to church after that, and I have people say, oh, I'll take you, or come to my church, or come to this one, and I say, it's between me and God. If God don't like it, then I'll have to pay the price, but so far me and him gets along a lot better than when I was going to church.
You're not going down the street dodging lightning bolts, are you, Juanita?
No, honestly, I've gotten closer to God, I feel, since I've been on my own. They said, forsake not the assembling of one another. But if you go in and you go in a den of vipers, and I'm not calling the people that, but what they're saying and what they're listening to, it is a den of vipers.
It is a den of vipers, and it is also a cult. Okay,
uh-huh.
The Southern Baptist Convention is nothing more and nothing less than a cult, because it is centered upon the personalities and not the spirituality, if you will.
You were saying something about your grandmother, about the pants, wearing the pants.
Yeah.
And I remember I used to get this little magazine. It was from the Baptist. That was the first church I joined, was the Baptist church. And when I was a kid, they had these things about, they had a big controversy about that. And what finally ended it was somebody wrote in and they said, well, do you think that when Jesus was preaching on the Mount of Olives, when he was the Sermon on the Mount.
Right.
Do you think that the people said, oh, we better go home and get properly dressed? I mean, if they were out farming or, whatever they were doing.
Yeah, that's not the crowd he ran with.
Yeah.
The folks with a closet full of fine robes or, dresses or whatever it was, that wasn't the people he wanted anything to do with.
And those were the only people that he said anything out of the way to. And he called them some names.
Yes, he did. Generation of vipers.
Right.
When it comes to, yeah. Sure.
Right, it's sepulchers.
Mm-hmm.
He called them. He told them they were of their father, the devil.
Yes.
The religious leaders of the day.
And it'll get you nailed up in a hurry.
And everybody that tries to help somebody, they're crucified one way or the other. Just like to me now, I think Michael Moore. Why did I say Roger?
Well, he made some good James Bond.
To me, he's a hero.
Yeah, sure he is.
He's a hero of mine. It's kind of like, were you the one playing George Beck or the Beck guy?
Yeah, I played Glenn Beck. Yeah, I played that. I'm sorry.
And
yeah.
They talk about him. You'd think that he was come from under the lowest snake pit,
Oh, Glenn Beck did come from under a snake
pit.
Well,
yeah, I'll agree with that. And, you know what I'm saying is, everything that they do is to people like us, they're killing us. They're trying to kill us with their poison. And see, people like you, it's a healing thing for me. It's a thing of joy. It's a blessing.
180,
because for
180,
so long, we didn't have anything. We had nothing.
If I can do that for you, everything I do is worthwhile.
Well, I think you probably do it for a lot more people than just me. You know, my son was, he, you know, this thing where usually we have a 2 or 3 people.
Mm-hmm.
And my son, he thought that was so neat because he said, well, he's not getting these famous people. He's getting just the people calling in together.
I don't
you
want
know, that was really great.
I don't want the famous people.
Yeah.
I mean, every now and then, you know, sure. But for the most part, no. Because, being famous does not make your opinion any more viable than anybody else.
Just, when I could, for a long time, the only left-wing radio I could get was, Jeff Staples and all.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they were only on, like, a couple of hours a day.
Right.
And I haven't been able to get him for a long time, and I was in touch with him quite a bit. You know, he didn't have a telephone or nothing to call in. He would read some of my emails over the air and all, and he led the way for me to feel free to express myself better. Believe me, I would... It took a lot of courage for me, and like yesterday, I felt like, I think I've hurt Bob, but
no.
I listened to the program, and I thought, wasn't too bad.
No.
I make myself hear myself, and I think, and the more I do it, the more I think, well, so what if I talk with a cornball accent? I think I do.
Juanita, honey, that's not a cornball accent, dear. That's the verbal music with which I grew up.
Yeah.
And I love hearing it. I love hearing it. We are up against the news, however.
Okay.
And we got to run along.
Okay. Good night.
You take care, Juanita. Have
you
a wonderful
too.
Weekend.
Okay.
Bye now.
Bye.
Just got an email rolled in. Said subject line: Bob Kincaid looks forward to a weekend. I'll alert the media. Hi again, Bob. The I'll alert the media bit is a line out of the movie Arthur. Yeah, I remember, with the late, great John Gielgud. Marty says, this is Marty writing, regarding the Oakland, Los Angeles, Irwindale, Sacramento, Los Angeles, Oakland traitors. Some things are unforgivable, which is why I'm a Denver Broncos fan, so John Elway is a Bush pioneer, I think. Oh, well. Thanks, Marty. All right, little musical interlude. I like this a lot better. Little musical interlude and then the news. Let's see. What shall it be? What fits in? I like this. I like this a lot. You're listening to listener-supported, independent, liberal, progressive conversation on the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be back after the news.
Like I got some kind of damned old curse. They keep talking about my drinking. Now they don't care nothing about my thirst. There's no greater danger than trying to find yourself. Because there's no stranger than a man. he's a plea. Tell him all I'm all right. Cover me a little while, and nobody sees, except by their own lights. All I need. Smile and Lisa, please. Rivers I snow, there's a rain. It gets any colder, honey, we could cross over that little sea. Yeah, you could get away from me, leave all them fools behind. All these dreams we got in the back of our mind. And Lisa, please tell them all I'm all right. Cover me a little while, and nobody sees except by their own light. All I need is from you, a little smile, and a Lisa, please. And a Lisa, please, tell them all I'm all right.
this is the Quality News Network. In Rochester, New Hampshire, a tense five-hour standoff is resolved peacefully. A man thought to be carrying explosives walked into the campaign headquarters of presidential candidate Hillary Clinton and demanded to speak with her. Leland Eisenberg of Somersworth, New Hampshire, first held, then released three hostages unharmed. Senator Clinton is currently campaigning elsewhere in Washington, D.C. and Virginia. Eisenberg surrendered peacefully to authorities last hour, who took him into custody without incident. CNN's Wolf Blitzer reports that Eisenberg made a series of phone calls to the CNN newsroom while holed up to say that he is upset with the current state of mental health care in the U.S. Eisenberg was due in court this afternoon in connection with a domestic violence matter between himself and his wife. Five Amtrak crew members were seriously injured in today's train crash on Chicago's South Side. Amtrak train rear-ended a freight train on the same track while making its regular run between Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Chicago. National Transportation and Safety Board will investigate. A passenger jet crashed into a rocky mountain in the southwestern part of Turkey early this morning, killing all 57 aboard. The cause of the crash is unknown, but weather and mechanical problems have now been ruled out. Australia's new prime minister says he'll pull one-third of his country's combat troops out of Iraq within 6 months. Australian forces are stationed primarily in the relatively calm southern portion of the war zone. In Baghdad, security forces carried out a pre-dawn raid arresting dozens of Sunni militants, and that after a bomb was discovered in front of a leading Sunni Arab politician's office. Among those arrested was the politician's own son. The Marines have trimmed their request for mine-resistant vehicles by one-third. Million-dollar troop carriers are designed to protect passengers from roadside bombs, but are too bulky for some Marine Corps missions. A 14-year-old Washington State boy died after just hours after a court ruling upheld his right to refuse treatment for leukemia. The eighth grader was a Jehovah's Witness who did not believe in blood transfusion. An American daredevil, Evel Knievel, passed away today at the age of 69. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Now this message.
PM Forney is on a mission to make life better. His pathway is civility. A professor at Johns Hopkins University, his pioneering study in civility produced a book called Choosing Civility, The 25 Rules of Considerate Conduct. In his book, Forney explains what is civility and what it means to be civil in today's world. He explores the recent decline of civility and offers ways that the direction might be reversed. His brilliant and engaging discourse outlines civility's basic rules, underscoring the values that practicing civility brings to our own lives, as well as to the lives of others. Forney's book is sprinkled with stimulating quotes, such as this by Dwight Curry, who said, "We have a choice about how we behave, and that means we have the choice to opt for civility and grace." For more information, click the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
The CEO of the nation's third-largest mobile phone maker, Motorola, says he's stepping down by year's end. Shares rose almost 2.5% on the news. Company's COO, Greg Brown, will take over and continue the struggle to make a turnaround. Consumer spending is up 0.2% for last month. Personal incomes rose by the same amount, according to the government. Both figures, however, are weaker than analyst expectations, indicating softer economic growth. Facebook has revamped its controversial advertising policy to permit its 55 million users to opt out of a marketing program that shares private information with advertisers. Shares of Warner Music Group increased after the world's third largest music company beat Wall Street expectations. That despite an announcement of a 58% decline in quarterly profit. Warner noted a steep drop in the sale of CDs and a continuing soft market. Del Monte Foods cut its annual earnings forecast after posting a lower-than-expected quarterly profit. Company cited a surge in costs for commodities like corn and wheat. Shares fell more than 6%. Light sweet crude oil trading at $88.71 a barrel. At this week's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 60 points to end at 13,371. And there's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Well, I think it's safe to say that that last tune was very well received. A couple of inquiries. The artist is a man by the name of Kevin Welch. the name of the tune is Annalisa Please. And it's the first time I ever heard that. I just came all unglued. It just took me apart. The profound, beautiful, beautiful piece of songwriting. And he is a humdinger of a songwriter. And as soon as... dadgummit. As soon as Outlook unlocks... Well, it says it's running. Okie doke. Heaven only knows what I just turned off. I really shouldn't be turned loose with computers and you know, no supervision. Okay, I got a couple of ringing phones here. Well, what in heaven's name's going on there? Who have I got? Hi.
Hey, Bob. It's Preston.
You know, you might be surprised, but I wondered if I was going to conjure you.
Well, I really enjoyed listening to your dialogue with Kate and Juanita and hearing that great Black Eyed Peas story. And that is exactly as she was saying. It is a form of... You can call it activism or just, you know, sharing one's humanity with another person is like a radical act sometimes when, you know, we're running into people who are angry because we might provide universal health care to, you know, the population.
I know. Well, you know, just hold, like I said, just holding back the dark.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was great that you shared that line from Blessed Unrest with us.
Oh, I've got the I'm going to do two pages out of it here in a little bit, one way or the other.
Great, great.
Because it's such a magnificent book. Because you know, I mean, there's some straightforward, you know, factual stuff, but it's the way that it's woven together that sort of makes you, well, it pushes back the dark too, Preston.
It sure does. I wonder if he's been on C-SPAN. You know, they do such a good job of recording book signings and lectures and stuff.
You know, I went to the author's website today. I started out at the Blessed Unrest website and then found my way over to his own website, paulhawken.com, and there's a nice piece of video there.
Okay.
And it was just gorgeous to behold. It was exactly what I needed today. I tend to just sort of open a vein on the show, and you know, you guys are my 3 hours of therapy. But after yesterday evening, I just wanted to huddle up in a corner and, you know, roll myself into a fetal position and suck my thumb after last night's show.
I know that feeling for sure.
And it really did. It went a long way toward healing that.
Great, great. I noticed Naomi Klein, she has that best-selling book out, The Shock Doctrine.
Yeah.
And she's going to be coming here to Colorado. She's going to be speaking at Boulder for a community radio station, and then she's going to come to Denver and speak again. And I'm thinking I might drop a line to C-SPAN, see if they have any people in the area who might record it, give it a shot, you know.
I'd love to get her on this program, I'd like to read the book first, frankly. And I know, I mean, it seems like everywhere I turn around, there's an interview with her, or she's been on this program or that program, and it seems to me like she is up to her rear end in alligators and struggling to make luggage. So, you know, I don't want to be one more thorn in her side, if you know what I mean. Because while authors have to go out and hustle their books, it is a taxing, time-consuming, and frequently miserable undertaking.
Yeah.
I remember talking to Warren Zevon's ex-wife and having her say, you know, it's so nice to do an interview that's not all Werewolves of London. And that's what you get from largely uninformed questioners. I don't know if you've ever seen this kind of stuff, Preston, but when you get a book from an author or an album or whatever it is that's being promoted, it comes with a little sheet of papers so that whoever's doing the interview won't have to bother to read the blessed book.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the way most people do these things. And
yeah.
one of the reasons that it's hard for me to do a lot of it is I'm absolutely committed to thou shalt read the book.
Yeah. Well, that's great that you have that.
Because otherwise thou shalt sound like an idiot.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's great. Although I must say I can sympathize with the people who don't get to all of the books. And
oh, I do too. I understand why it is that way.
Yeah.
And you're just hoping to sound intelligent enough to sound like you're getting away with it. I mean,
yeah.
does anybody think John Stewart, when they're doing the show and the writers aren't on strike, three shows out of five probably are some guy pushing a book.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy, I mean, he works his rear end off. He's not sitting in an office with his feet with his sock feet up on a desk, reading the latest from Richard Pearl. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he has to sound halfway coherent, and as if he really did. There I go pulling the curtain back again.
Yeah, people are often just winging it, and I think, you know, on top of just knowing the content of the books, having a feel for it anyway, it also matters whether they're just going to be fair and give the people a chance to speak their piece, and or is it going to be constantly combative? And, you know, I think that's another thing that would appeal to a lot of progressive authors to maybe make space for your program, is that, you know, they wouldn't be assaulted all the time. I mean, you know.
Oh, we've had great success when we have had authors on the program. It's just it's difficult to do, Preston.
Yeah, I completely understand. And, you know, I like the tempo of your show, and again, the contributions of just the callers like Kate and Juanita are just so, I treasure them, really.
You know, I can't tell you, Preston, what this show does to me. And I don't mean that in a negative light. I come in here sometimes my butt drags to get in behind the microphone.
Yeah.
Other times I come bouncing in here like, you know, like a kid on Christmas morning. But invariably when the 3 hours are over, 9 times out of 10, I will have been humbled. I will have been reminded that humility is a good thing. And I will be touched and sometimes in tears. Someone just sent in a contribution and said for me to make sure that I said on the air that half of that contribution was for Juanita, was to be done in her name.
Cool. Cool.
And I'm just sitting here with my eyelids kind of pulled back going, wow.
Great. And for those days that you do kind of, you know, when you're kind of dragging or you don't want to put in a 16-hour day or something like that, have you considered having some other people kind of on the bench to kind of help you out if you need more replacements or substitute hosts?
Well, we have, but while we have worked up what we think is a rather semi-miraculous, marvelous little way of doing what we do without using pieces of $5,000 equipment,
yeah.
It still requires a certain amount of stuff.
Yeah.
And I hesitate to lean on another member of the Horn crew because, you know, they're already doing what they do. I guess we don't have a second string.
Yeah.
I hope somewhere down the road that's what we can do. You know, part of what this weekend schedule is about is to let people who think that they want to get their feet wet in this medium do so in a way in which they can judge for themselves.
Yeah.
Because, you know, committing to a 3-hour show once a week is on a pre-recorded basis is a huge undertaking.
Yeah. And I was thinking maybe even some experienced hosts. That person I mentioned earlier to you, Jackie Guerra.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's usually gets a salary and stuff like that, but I'd be curious to see if maybe someone like that would just want to be able to contribute somehow. And I don't know. Just
Well, it's a fascinating thought.
I've seen a lot of good hosts just kind of get squeezed out. Enid Goldstein is another person. She got squeezed out of Denver. And
Enid's wonderful. You know, I first ran across Enid by virtue of the fact that she was archived over at White Rose.
Okay.
And she just blew me away.
Yep. And so, I don't know. And anyway, I was also just watching Democracy Now! We're very fortunate here in Denver because one of the public radio TV stations airs the TV version of Democracy Now! Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. And they were talking about, they were sharing the clips from the Republican debate regarding immigration, and they were bringing up Sanctuary City. And then making a joke about Mitt Romney's Sanctuary Mansion and so forth. And I heard you talk about Sanctuary earlier this evening and how it's a good thing.
Well,
it's a good place to go, you know? But and here we are, the word's being turned into something negative.
It's being turned into something vile. I mean, I'll be honest. You know, one of the beautiful things about art and literature is where it can is the places it can take you. I've said before that I bothered to learn a bunch of other history I never would have bothered to learn by virtue of sitting around listening to Al Stewart's music. The same thing applies to things like the concept of sanctuary, because the first thing my little mind ever got was Quasimodo, you know, sanctuary, and that took me off down an entire different path.
Okay.
And you learn what it means.
I was just reading an article on a current sanctuary movement going on in a lot of churches around the country that are giving unauthorized migrants, you know, a place for support. And in the article, they talk about the biblical concept of sanctuary. It was a divine law to the ancient people of Israel. If somebody had done something that could be viewed as a crime, but the reaction to the crime was an unjust reaction, they could run to the city of refuge and could be protected until they could get a fair hearing. Let's create a sanctuary city and sanctuary mansions and, you know.
Yeah, sanctuary basements.
Yep. And this came out of an earlier sanctuary movement in the 80s and early 90s. When that horrendous assault through proxy armies and death squads is going on
in Central America, absolutely.
Yep.
And that, you know, it's very interesting because that movement, I forget what it was called. There was a movement within the Catholic Church.
Liberation theology.
Liberation theology. Thank you, Preston. Exactly. That was ground under the boot of John Paul II, and the grinding continues under Ratzinger.
Yep.
And you know, you want to talk about sin? That's a sin. Yep. Putting that movement down and replacing it with movements, well, you know,
yep.
too much for one night.
Yeah. Well,
but you're right. It did. It rose out of that because
yep.
people desperately needed it.
Yep. Yep. And just a couple weeks ago, they had the annual School of the Americas protest at Fort Benning.
Mm-hmm.
And I was glad to see Dennis Kucinich went there and spoke. I attended one of those about 3 years ago, and very moving educational experience. And I also kind of hung out around Fort Benning, too, because they had kind of a carnival that was running the same day, and you could get a ride in a Huey helicopter and stuff like that, and they had music and so forth. But the Indigo Girls were there. I don't know if you know that group.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
They were there as well, and, it was a moving experience. And I actually almost ran into Dennis Kucinich. I went to Asheville, North Carolina a couple of weeks ago to visit my dad. And he was speaking at an independent bookstore there called Malaprops. And he was speaking there, and he was also speaking at the Ani DiFranco concert that was also taking place there. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, I wasn't able to make either one, but it was just so fun to find out that's going on. And, you know, sometimes people get the impression that there's no movement and people are too frightened or dispirited or they don't know what to do and da-da-da. And we feel that, and there's certainly a reality to that. But there's also this other reality of a lot of action going on and people finding inspiration and connecting and so forth. Do you get the Sundance Channel by chance?
No. I have the cable equivalent of two dented tomato soup cans and a string. You know, I have been reminded recently to be grateful for the fact that they still let me have the Fox News Channel, and if I'm not nice, they'll take that away too.
Right. Oh, I noticed that effort to create the a la carte cable choices kind of stalled in the House or whatever. That, in a way, actually, when I kind of thought about that more, I was thinking maybe there is something advantageous to people having to get these other sorts of channels. For instance, you know, I'm glad that to know that some right-wing people who might just choose like a Fox and sports channels, they're going to come across C-SPAN every once in a while, and they'll get a lot of their stuff reconfirmed. I mean, Heritage Foundation and these other right-wing think tanks, they're often on C-SPAN, and right-wing authors. I saw Ann Coulter recently. Yes. But every now and again, you'll see a person like Chalmers Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on a couple weeks ago and just brought down the house, man. And, just a powerful force for sure.
Well, I got to thinking about the whole a la carte thing, too, and I took it in a different direction, Preston, because I don't think, well, if the argument that the cable companies will make is, you know, they're paid, and they are. They are paid to run QVC, and they are paid to run Trinity Broadcasting Network. And it supports, and they'll say it supports their ability to provide other programming, which, of course, you're paying for in the end. But what I started thinking about is, you know, can I go to the post office and tell them not to deliver anything to me addressed to resident or current occupant? And I checked it out, and I went down, and they went, no, we're going to deliver it to you. We've been paid to deliver it to you.
Yeah.
You're going to get it. What you do with it is your business, but we're bringing it to you.
Yeah.
And bulk mail, or what we call junk mail, basically props up the United States Postal Service.
That's true. I saw this incredible number of the number of catalogs. I think it was in Harper's Index list, something like the number of catalogs Victoria's Secret sends out each year. And it was like 300 million. I couldn't believe it was bigger than the population. And it's a shame. And but
it's, yeah, also what keeps
money.
It's also what keeps a first class postage stamp from being 375.
There's, I'm convinced there's a better way.
There is.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We agree on that. But this is the system that's been constructed or, you know, imagined into reality. And let's hope we can change it back here pretty soon. Interestingly enough, I didn't make the Kucinich book signing, but I made one last night that was quite interesting. Jenna Bush was in town to sign her book, Anna Story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I like what she's doing. She gave a very thoughtful presentation and, bringing up these issues of AIDS. And in her book, she actually has a section that kind of counters myths about AIDS. And she has sections on who to contact if, you know, you're being abused or child abuse or sexual abuse. She talks about safe sex. She mentions abstinence for sure, but she also says condoms and, you know, talks about all that stuff that other forces don't want to talk about, don't want to educate people about. And that she's, I think she's a fantastic ambassador for UNICEF. And for someone to be saying something positive about the United Nations when there's so much derision of it.
Well, when her father diametrically opposes it.
Yep. Yep. You have to wonder how that...
Well, my cynicism, Preston, makes me wonder when they'll reel her in. I mean, if she's saying this kind of stuff,
yeah.
When will, you know, and I'm also so cynical, I wonder, you know, what's the motive?
There's that, too. And there are parts of it, including the emphasis, you know, AIDS, HIV itself is very, you can look at that from a lot of angles. You know, what is it exactly? Where is it coming from? And the response is so often enriching the pharmaceutical companies further.
Well, sure. The I forget who the pharmaceutical giant was that was suing India.
Okay.
Over the AIDS drugs.
Yeah.
But there was so much public outcry through organizations like CARE that they had to draw their horns in. Preston, we had another person ring in, so let's get some front porch action going. Hey, who've
sure.
I got?
Wayne.
Hey, Wayne, what's up?
Oh, wow, I didn't know I was going to... This is great.
Hey,
Preston,
Wayne.
Yeah, you're on with Preston.
Okay.
Hi, Wayne.
You old man. Listen, something you said a couple minutes ago that people don't realize there is a movement. I mean, man, there is a movement. I mean, it inspires me. Yesterday, I was in Lexington, Kentucky at the nurses' rally in front of ARH headquarters. And it's amazing. I mean, there were nurses there from Hawaii, from Missouri, from Montana, representatives from New York. The AFL-CIO was there. SEIU was there. And, you know...
That's great. This is
I deal with this all the time. I mean, the AFL, you know, SEIU broke off from the AFL-CIO and started their own thing called Change to Win. And
a lot of acrimony there, yeah.
Happy campers with each other. But they're all coming together for these nurses. I mean, this nurse strike, nursing strike in West Virginia and Kentucky is becoming a national matter, you know. And when you see people from all over the country and labor organizations that aren't that friendly with each other coming together to support the same thing. I mean, the AFL-CIO gave the nurses a $20,000 check. SEIU had the best of them, I guess. They gave one for $27,000. The nurses from Hawaii brought a check for $5,000. I mean, you know, it's wonderful to see. And, you know, I maintain that there's an awakening. I really do. I see it every day. And, we certainly need that.
Yeah.
I'll shut up and let somebody talk.
Well, that's kind of the opposite side of what, you know, Bob and I have pointed out at other times, the ways in which organizations weren't collaborating. And the way that's stunted their growth, but it's great to hear examples
exactly
of how
right. That's exactly right. I mean, listen, in in organized labor's realm, there's a saying, and it's been true for many, many years. You know, we're our own worst enemy. Believe me, we get too involved in fighting with each other when we should be fighting together for a common cause. And,
solidarity.
There you go, brother. And, I really think that's together. And, well, like I say, this strike here with these nurses is a focal point nationally. And, our governor, whom I don't always agree with, and he knows that, well, he's to be commended for his efforts. I mean, he got involved in this thing, and he's holding the company to the line. You know, I mean, he suggested that ARH let the nurses come back to work for a 90-day cooling-off period while they continue to negotiate under the old contract, and ARH refused that offer. And things are changing, and I think, well, the governor has a lot to do with that. And on December 12th in Kentucky, the new governor takes over. And this guy was supported by organized labor, has made promises to organized labor, and on December 12th, we expect him to start holding them promises true. You know,
great.
The lieutenant governor is a surgeon who refused to cross the nurse's picket line. So we got some stuff going for us here, you know. And and these nurses are to be commended. I mean, they're brave women, and things are going good. They're going better. And I want to see the thing resolved in the favor of the nurses, and you know, safe staffing, and it's great things are going on if you look for, you know, and you then get involved.
Yeah, I mean, among other things, Wayne, it's not impossible for this hospital to actually hire enough nurses that they don't have to do compulsory overtime.
No, it is not. I mean, you know, they said to Manchin, well, we have all these, you know, permanent replacements. Well, Manchin said, well, you're understaffed, keep them and bring back the nurses.
Oh, that must have gone over like...
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it did. You know, he's slick, man. I'm going to tell you what, I have a lot of admiration for this guy. We'll never agree on everything, but...
No, but... look, when people do the right thing, people deserve to be commended for doing the right thing.
Right. I have a lot of respect for him, you know. Yeah. I mean, the thing, if a person allows you, like him, to have a seat at the table... and tell you we might not always agree, but you always got a seat here, that's pretty hard to ask for too much more than that. The rest, I think, is up to you. You know what I mean? How you present your arguments and how you present your side of the story.
Sure.
Yeah.
And if you go in saying, you know...
And I don't mean to interrupt people.
Oh, no, you're not interrupting anything.
No, okay. This is great. I was, as you were speaking, I was wondering how the nurses have dealt with, how they themselves have dealt with a big influx of foreign workers. The U.S. has been, through legal, largely legal immigration procedures, they've been bringing in a lot of nurses from places like the Philippines and other countries
doctors
of the global
also.
South.
Yeah, doctors also.
Yeah, what's that immigration proceeding, section called?
Oh, I know what you mean.
And another place that you see a lot of it is in the high-tech computer code writing, you know.
Yeah, it's a number, something or other that, you know.
Like a 420 or something like that.
Right, yeah.
Although I'm pretty sure it's not 420.
I don't know exactly what it is. It all, you know, I would say that all depends on the individual. You know, if people are right-thinking, who gives a damn where they came from?
You know, by the way, it's an H-1B visa.
Okay, that's right.
Okay. I'll have to write that down.
I love the chat room. I see it here. It comes up.
Would you remember that for me?
I'll remember that for you, Wayne.
Thank you very much.
I'll partition the hard drive and put it right there.
Okay, very good. Very good. You know, some of the biggest supporters of these nurses are doctors from Pakistan that, there's three of them. I don't know if all three of them are from Pakistan, but the one guy I know or have more of a relationship with is. And, I mean, these guys are, you know, they put on rallies. They tell the hospital how they think. They, you know, and they know that the only way to be is union, and that the unions have to grow in order to represent the people.
Well, I don't want to oversimplify anything, Wayne, but they know that because
they were denied it.
They have a recent heritage. Maybe it was a father or a grandfather of people who have been denied that, and whose only means of survival has been to engage that power.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. You know, people's working people's voice is one of the reasons that they came here or chose here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Preston, where are you from?
I'm in Denver.
Denver?
I'm in Philadelphia, though.
The Broncos are there, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And I was so...
I'm from Pittsburgh.
I really enjoyed that Chicago game last weekend.
Did you? Oh, yeah, that was great, man. That was...
I'm like an anti-Broncos fan.
Oh, well, God, I like you more already.
Well, I noticed Shanahan and Elway's Republican fundraisers, and...
I don't know if you remember, anytime I think of John Elway, who was the renegade quarterback when Dicta was coach of the Bears?
Oh, McMahon.
McMahon. McMahon used to always refer to John Elway as, oh, you mean old horse teeth.
Right.
Well, I remember when the... And you know, it's just one of those things that's so cute that you can't forget it. I remember when the chase was going on for O.J. Simpson, and a joke came out pretty promptly thereafter saying that during the chase to capture O.J. Simpson, John Elway had been mistakenly detained because an APB went out for a slow-moving white Bronco.
Very good.
It, you know, and see, it's still funny 15 years later.
Yeah, it is.
Because, you know, you could time Elway with a sundial.
I saw, listen, you know, since whatever your cable system, can you get that Pittsburgh station?
Oh, no.
No, you can't.
No.
They had an interview with Mike Dicta the other night. It was pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. Now, for those of you that don't know it, I grew up with Mike Dicta in the projects a long, long time ago.
Okay.
And it really irritated me when the Republicans approached him,
mm-hmm.
and he was considering. You know, I mean, how somebody from that project and that steel mill...
You wanted to airmail him a brick.
Yeah, I mean, could be a Republican was, well, completely beyond me. To say the least.
Yeah.
But he's an interesting dude, man. You know?
I was happy to see Franco Harris campaigning for Democrats in a recent election.
After who ran for
Lynn Swann.
Yeah.
Lynn Swann, yeah. Geez, disappointment that was. I wiped out all his catches to me, man. I couldn't believe.
Got to mail in a couple of Super Bowl rings over that one.
And what team did you play for? The guys that come to practice with their lunch bucket? You know.
Yeah.
Elway's actually coaching his son now at a high school here. John Elway.
Yeah.
He's an assistant coach for his son's high school football team. And
what
a very good
son
team. Junior or senior.
Okay.
And,
that must be intense. I don't know if I'd want John Elway.
Yeah.
For a dad.
I don't know. But I'm sure he's a perfectly nice guy. Don't like his politics. But again, that kind of makes me think again of meeting, Jenna Bush last night. And, you know, it's interesting. Before I went to this event, there was an interview with her. And she was asked what kind of music she liked. And one of the bands she said she loves the most is Neil Young. And I thought, you know, there's some irony in that he has a song
that
about...
That gives you one of them.
You know, about impeaching the president. And I don't know, I just really admired how she didn't seem to hold that against him, you know.
Well, that's, you know... I mean, just because George is her dad doesn't make her a bad person.
Not at all. Not at all.
And she may not George. Even be biologically related to him.
Yeah, well, you know, there's that side, too.
and George himself, you know, this is, there's a, the cover story of a Foreign Policy magazine, which I came across right after this talk. It said, the war in Iraq, it's not Bush's fault, it's your fault, in parentheses.
And, oh, well, listen.
You know, playing to us, the American public. And, you know, all the different
because
ways
we haven't stood up for him. We didn't stand up
right.
Against
not
him when he stole the election with the Supreme Court and the whole nine yards.
All that.
And on and on and on.
And not standing up to all the people around the airwaves who were advocating for this war. And they, you know, Bush gets hyper-criticized. And, you know, I mean, a lot of it's deserved. But I think there's really, you know, these other people making the arguments. And, in fact, Bush, I think, has been much more moderate on a lot of issues. He's much more fair when he speaks about Muslims, when he speaks about immigrants, then the further right
well,
is
see,
really pushing
yeah,
policy
my
in
problem,
the country.
My problem with that is I don't believe that that's what he truly believes.
Yeah.
Well, my problem is that I said some time back that every time we think that we've seen the worst that the Republican Party has to offer, they are more than happy to prove us fools.
Yeah.
You know, we said, oh, well, Nixon, you know, he just about took the country apart. You know, can't get any worse than Nixon. Hello, Reagan. So we get done with Reagan. Well, he was a doddering old fool. It certainly can't get any worse than Reagan. Hello, George. And what we're finding out, we started out, Preston, talking about that thing that they pawned off on the American public as a debate the other night where, it was who can hate the brown people more for the first 30 minutes, if not the first 45 minutes of the darn thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly. And if we don't watch ourselves, we're going to end up with Rudy Giuliani, for crying out loud.
Look, you know, I mean, and, you know, right. But by the same token, I look at that crowd, and suddenly, you know, Rudy looks, and now I'm comparing apples to apples, not Democrats to Republicans. Rudy looks downright sane when you stand him next to Mike Huckabee.
Yeah, on some issues, he's all right, you know.
And the thing is, Mike Huckabee, you know, he's got some it going for him right now. You know, this is a guy who says he flat out doesn't believe in evolution, that his presidency would be guided by his fundamentalist upbringing. You know, hello, Iran.
Is he invested in that museum where the kids play with the dinosaurs?
I'm sure he's been there. Got the postcard.
Right. Yeah.
Hey guys, we got to wrap it up. But boy, is this fun! I sure do appreciate it.
Yeah, this is fun.
Me too.
Preston, it was very enjoyable.
Likewise, Wayne.
Have a good evening. Well, who do you root for then? I mean, if you don't like the Broncos,
well, I was born in Philadelphia, and
tough year.
Yeah, but you know, even though they lost to New England last week. And I thought they played a hell of a game. They were 24-point underdogs, and they almost won that game. And I thought...
I felt so sorry for that kid, man. They had to... Down the middle.
And I have a lot of issues with football. I mean, it's so violent. I mean, you could make an argument to ban it, almost. And there's the ways it's used to cultivate jingoism
and the way it's used to use people. I mean, they're having a funeral in Miami right now.
Yep.
Oh,
and it sucks up so much attention, you know. It depoliticizes a lot of society in some instances, but anyway.
But even Cicero went to the circus, Preston.
There you go. And I did enjoy that. The Eagles.
And, you know, these guys are afforded pads and care, you know. And they're not allowed to punch each other in the face or kick each other in the nuts.
Or like a certain vice president, they're not allowed to shoot each other in the face.
Yeah, they're not allowed to shoot each other in the face. I mean, there's some rules, you know.
You know,
anyway.
And one last comment real quick.
Yes.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to see the players themselves to make it less injurious to people. For instance, when Wayne Gretzky came here to play hockey in the NHL, he was shocked by the level of violence in the game here. You know, he was used to playing in the lower Canadian leagues and in Europe and stuff like that. And he even advocated for a change in the game to make it less brutal. For instance, he wanted fewer players on the ice, 4-on-4. and there'd be less people smashing into each other. And they also made more noises about all the fighting that was going on. I'd like to see in football a similar thing going on where
some of it is taking place organically, Preston, because thanks to the and I speak to college because I'm more of a college ball guy. But because of the rise and the ascendancy of the so-called spread offense that WVU's coach Rich Rodriguez invented and is being adopted all over college football now, that places a premium on speed as opposed to these great big lumbering corn-fed hulks of heart attacks waiting to happen. Very few people know that the average lifespan of an NFL lineman is something like 55 years. And it's because they've been treated like prize hogs and made to bear weight that the human frame isn't made to bear. So it's sort of readdressing itself, because if you're going to run the spread offense, you have no there's no place in that offense for a 350-pound offensive tackle. One of the first things Rodriguez did when he came in and replaced Don Nealon at WVU is he looked at his offensive line and said, boys, we're going to lose some weight. There's not going to be a 300-pound lineman on this team.
Make it more of a finesse game and less of a power game. And we need to do the same with our foreign policy, actually.
And when you take some of that weight off, there's less kinetic force, if I understand physics correctly, behind the hits. The hits are brutal. They go faster, but there's less, you know, there's less weight behind it.
Okay. Well, interesting.
Things are happening.
Well, haven't we been all over the board?
I would say so.
Thanks, guys. And I'll save the passage from Blessed Unrest for maybe Monday.
That'd be great.
All right.
Take care.
Wayne.
Hey.
Preston.
Bob.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a call about our project.
Okay. Sounds cool.
You know, I'll wait, get Peter started and all that jazz.
Right. Sounds good.
All right, brother.
Preston, have a wonderful weekend. You too, Wayne.
Likewise. Yep. Good night.
See you later, Preston. Bye.
I love doing the front porch. I love it when the front porch works, because I know I'm doing something that is not happening anywhere else, probably in the world. And yeah, that speaks to my ego a little bit. But it also speaks to my conviction that we're doing it right here. You guys jumped on the bandwagon when we started talking about money, and I appreciate it. I sincerely do. And to the contributor who wanted Juanita credited with half of that gift, consider it done. And Juanita, that should tell you what folks think of you. I've got an email here from someone who wrote to say that your contribution is the joy that and the conversational value that you bring to this network. There is no one listening to any program, whether they support financially or don't, who is of unworth. My God, you make me every day a more humble man and a more grateful man. Thanks to our IT professional, Peter Godbold, on his way with the world's most fabulous LGBT conversation radio program, Strictly Confidential. Thanks to John Fox on his weekend. There's no John Fox show tonight. On his weekend, down under, our webmaster, our chief engineer. Thanks to the hardest working man in liberal talk, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. If you value what happens here, you value what happens via the White Rose. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you. We'll be right back.
This is the Quality News Network. In Rochester, New Hampshire, a tense five-hour standoff is resolved peacefully. A man thought to be carrying explosives walked into the campaign headquarters of presidential candidate Hillary Clinton and demanded to speak with her. Leland Eisenberg of Somersworth, New Hampshire, first held, then released, three hostages unharmed. Senator Clinton is currently campaigning elsewhere in Washington, D.C. and Virginia. Eisenberg surrendered peacefully to authorities, who took him into custody without incident. CNN's Wolf Blitzer reports that Eisenberg made a series of phone calls to the CNN newsroom while holed up to say that he is upset with the current state of mental health care in the U.S. Eisenberg was due in court this afternoon in connection with a domestic violence matter between himself and his wife. Five Amtrak crew members were seriously injured in today's train crash on Chicago's South Side. An Amtrak train collided with a freight train on the same track while making its regular run between Grand Rapids, Michigan and Chicago. The National Transportation and Safety Board will investigate. In Baghdad, security forces carried out a pre-dawn raid, arresting dozens of Sunni militants after a bomb was discovered in front of a leading Sunni Arab politician's office. Among those arrested was the politician's son. Talks between the European Union and Iranian leaders ended without resolution today in London. Tehran's refusal to freeze uranium enrichment ended the discussions, according to the EU's foreign policy chief. Israel's High Court has approved a plan to reduce the amount of fuel oil and gasoline sent to the Gaza Strip. The reduction is part of economic sanctions punishing